Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. Yeah, I'm really excited. This is the 12th week of something I thought might last the 2 weeks, maybe. You know, just because it's hard to get all these folks together in the same place. But we've actually had 12 weeks now. This is our 3-month anniversary of the World's Greatest Doctors panel. So let's bring on our team captain right away here, Judy Mikovits. And enter and sign in, please. You want to say a couple of words now that we have our intros down to a science, if you'll excuse the pun. And welcome, Judy. Glad you're here.
Yeah, my science is 40,000 foot, so I'll never give you an intro that's succinct. They used to say
fine.
We never use the F word in my lab, which was focus. Because
that F word. I'm glad you cleared that
then
up.
You won't be able, then you won't even be able to see the forest for the trees. So you've got to be able to see the bigger picture. Anyway, I'm Judy Mikovits, and my training is in natural products chemistry, protein chemistry, making drugs from plants, biological modifiers, thinking about the innate immune system and how it responds to pathogens, primarily retroviruses. I have a PhD in that changed the HIV from a causative even suggestion in AIDS. So acquired immune deficiency now is not, in 1992, was not caused by HIV because you could block the ability of the virus, no matter how much virus was present, to disrupt the immune system. So when we found out that these lies, these even weaponized pathogens that we've been making in laboratories for 40 years weren't going to kill people as quickly as hoped, I don't even know how to say this, published in
Be
science
blunt.
And published in science how they were trying to kill us with their synthetic manufactured viruses that they called vaccines for 40 years since all liability was removed in 1986. And we showed all the cancers and all the autoimmune, neuroimmune, and inflammatory diseases being caused in the sterilization of millions of susceptible individuals that they decided who was susceptible. Of course, they ended my career in that prospect, so we ended up writing 4 books. Plague of Corruption, upon which the movie Plandemic is based upon, showing that this whole, I don't care which plandemic it was, AIDS, COVID, they just changed the names and it's the same disease. And then, of course, Ending Plague, A Scholar's Obligation in an Age of Corruption. And that's what this panel is about, the scholars that have come to the forefront in this tragedy called COVID-19, but the realization that this never has to happen again if we change, if we end the corruption by changing the law, et cetera, and that we, the people, can.
Ooh, I love hearing that. That's pretty much why I wanted to get everybody together, was to start working on either a Public Health Reform Act or whatever we want to call it. But I want to get some ideas started here. And so on that, let me get some I'm really glad that you're so encouraged and supportive of citizen legislation, because just everybody else, we've got John Cullen, we've got Dr. Jim Thorpe on the line, too. I've been fortunate enough to – I've had 5 interviews in the last week and a half. Every one of those hosts – Judy, I got a little background on your line. I don't know if you're running a marathon right now or doing your exercises, or there we go. It sounds a little better now. I've had 5 interviews and it's been incredible. Every one of those hosts, who didn't know a whole lot about Action Radio in the beginning, not only did they want to support our legislation with their audience, all but one of them has an idea for a bill. They want to start writing their own bills. So once this catches on with the hosts, with the talk show hosts, this is going to float. This is going to be an incredible thing. I'll tell you more about that as we get going. John Cullen, data expert. Sir, enter and sign in, please.
Hello, this is John Cullen. Great to be here. Hello, Dr. Judy. Hello, Greg. Hello, Dr. Thorpe. Good to see you or hear you all. I don't think
we can do a Zoom someday, but I like radio because you got to think about radio. When you see Zoom, you watch the faces, you watch the personalities. What are they wearing today? You know, how did Judy do her hair? I mean, it's just they get the weird stuff. But when with radio, we listen. And so actually, that'd be a great question for both Judy Mikovits and Jim Thorpe. The differences between listening and watching, video versus audio. That'd be we could spend a couple minutes on that. Anyway, why don't you tell your story? And Judy, if you're rustling papers, you want to mute yourself a little bit just until you get back on that. That might help also.
I was just going to say we never see John anyway.
Yeah, well,
exactly.
John's a mystery.
I'm always hidden. I'm in disguise.
You could pass John on the street, and you'd never know unless he was wearing a shirt that said, "I am John Cullen."
maybe we'll talk about that on the show today and why I opted to do this, because certainly it takes a toll on my credibility. But I'm an independent investigative journalist. I got into independent investigative journalism almost 5 years ago, in October of 2017. And about 34 years ago, I worked at Oracle. And when I was at Oracle, I was the guy who put together the mapping system that today is the de facto standard for geographic information systems, the ESRI system. And I was the lead from the Oracle team on that project. And today, Johns Hopkins and the World Health Organization and lots of organizations map the COVID pandemic using the software that I put together. And that's what got my attention.
Wouldn't it be interesting? I think a lot of us have no clue actually how software is put together. You like type out code and it tells computers how to do things. You know, that might be something for us to talk about too, as to how actually this works. Because for those of us like me, it's just this big mystery. And things happen and these screens pop up and I'm able to push buttons and I've got you from all over the country. We've got Judy on the West Coast and John, I don't even know where you are, John. You may not want to say it might be part of your mystique, but Jim Thorpe.
Exactly.
Dr. Jim Thorpe's local. And so, but just the wonder of all this, of how you can actually sit down, write out code, and a computer knows, does it turn it, well, let me ask you a quick question. Does it turn it all into binary? Does it all go 10, 10, 10? Does it turn everything that you type in code into binary code? Really?
Yeah, in fact, that's what compilers do. So a compiler takes the stuff that you write that's somewhat legible to people who know the code, like Java or something like that, or Python.
Okay.
And the compiler turns it into the ones and zeros. That's all the computer can comprehend is the ones and zeros. It's either on or off. It just does a lot of them very quickly. And we convert that into syntaxes that you can write stuff in. And, you know, when I was a kid, it was BASIC and COBOL. And then these programming languages have become more sophisticated, and then the tools have become more sophisticated so that you don't necessarily have to write code anymore. You can kind of point and click at things, and that's called object-oriented programming, and that was something I got into many years ago. But the sophistication that's behind this mapping system that's used by Johns Hopkins is significant, and the problem was when I first took a look at the map back in March of 2020, everything on the map was red, regardless of how many people were dead. And that seemed odd. In other words, a country like Vietnam at the time had no one dead, and yet the little dot on Vietnam was still red. I was like, well, why wouldn't it be green if nobody's dead? It's supposed to be green, not red. Right?
Did your stuff get hacked? Was your map hacked?
No.
Or were they just reprogramming it, or they were just coloring it red as part of the propaganda, or why were they doing that?
Well, here's where it gets interesting. So the person responsible for configuring the map at Johns Hopkins is Nsheng Dong, a Chinese national working on his PhD.
Why doesn't that
working on his
you?
PhD?
Are you surprised by that?
So, you know, is this really Chinese intelligence within the United States? Because basically one person configured this map, everybody shows it on television, and the world panicked. But closer look, you realize that today, according to the World Health Organization, China has fewer people dead than Ohio, according to the WHO.
Yeah, I remember you've gone over these numbers for this. That's what's so interesting about this. See, I want to get a little further if we can, but this person, Dong, I've forgotten the beginning parts. Mm-hmm. Have they been established as a
Nsheng Dong?
And Shandong, have they been established as a Chinese national or part of the Chinese Communist Party, or do we know who they are?
Oh, certainly. There's all kinds of articles. En Shengdong is a hero at Johns Hopkins for having built the map. And there's all kinds of stories about him and what a genius he is and how he built the map. And I'm trying to get the guy arrested.
Yeah. Well, let's work on that. I think we could do a little exposure, you know, because it seems to me that it sounds like, you know, this is our last election in 2020 was the safest election in history. You know, it sounds like that kind of propaganda. This is the best map out there. You know, when the lies get too big, they become very obvious.
Yes. I mean, and it's very hard for them to backtrack now, because here we are 2.5 years in, and China, according to the WHO, has 24,000 people dead and building. In other words, it's not like they just stopped counting. They didn't stop. They didn't stop counting. It just hit 24,000 yesterday, the day before yesterday. It just
is
hit 24,000.
1.2 billion people, right? So that's a 0.00 what percentage? Yeah. I want to ask
you a question. It's less than New Jersey, right? So how does China have fewer people dead than Ohio? And Beijing has 9 dead.
Short answer, are they giving out hydroxychloroquine? Are they using the early treatments and not telling
us? I don't know. So here's the thing. I'm not the guy who knows the answers. I'm the guy who asks the really uncomfortable questions that forces other people to investigate. No, I don't know why. I don't know why there's 9 people dead in Beijing.
I'm going to ask you that. Yeah,
there's 595 dead in Shanghai, right? So just so compared to the United States, it's stunning.
Well, this is what I find so fascinating about this whole thing. First of all, you've got a Chinese national. You've got, with me in my head, I put the pieces together, or I try to. So we've got a Chinese national. We've got a map that shows all red. We've got ridiculously low death rates in the rest of the world compared to how dangerous we're told this thing is. We have very high death rate here. We know they've suppressed early treatments. We know they've suppressed cures. We know they've suppressed virtually everything, including information, which is what I want to get into. But I want to ask Judy, have you come across this guy, M. Shengdong? Did you work with map stuff at all? Do you, in your travels, what can you add to this? And I want to bring Jim into the conversation. Do you know about this guy?
No, absolutely not at all. But what I can add to it is, obviously, he's a PhD student in Young, and I left National Cancer Institute in Frederick and Johns Hopkins work in 2001 and came to California with epigenetics. But what's interesting about our work at Johns Hopkins in the 80s and 90s with effect to the on-off switch of viruses, that's the on-off switch of the DNA methylation, putting a methyl group at certain very specific pieces of code in order to silence it and turn it on and off. That's called epigenetics, and at the level of the code on-off, express the gene or don't express the gene, that was our work with Steve Balin, who's kind of the head, a big guru at Johns Hopkins. You know, how do you turn on and off viruses? How do you make this one work and this one recombine and silence? And, you know, so as they're trying to hack that code, it all gets reduced at your nucleus to ones and zeros. And, the compilers are working on, you know, the message they're telling everybody, and they're compiling a similar code from a sequence of a virus that is not a actual virus, and how do we make it work? So it's
okay, my head just
I
exploded.
Think about those
wait.
Sorry.
We need a gong on this one. Hang on. For all of you that just missed what happened here, we have just correlated the binary code of computers with the binary code of viruses. So now I have to ask the big question.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I'm wondering. What the hell did you two just say? And Jim's like, I want to talk to you. I can tell. I know he's right there. But I want to just pursue this just a little bit further here. And then I want to Jim's opinion. But is it the same thing? So when the guy at Moderna gave that TED talk, said, we have hacked the software of life, are they literally using the same type of technology of binary codes using their computer technology to program viruses in the same way? And are computer people running the viruses and are virus people running the computers? And is there a crossover here that we haven't established but probably should establish at this point? Who wants that?
Yeah.
Joe, I'd say yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. What Dr. Judy does in the lab is not, effectively, it's not that different from what programmers are doing with software. The fact that Dr. Judy has the ability to make changes at the molecular level in these viruses, right? So when we talk about sequences, right? So when you hear us talking about the CGG, CGG sequence, right?
Right.
That's, what is that?
100100 code. Yeah, it's
well,
the same thing, right?
CGG, CGG is cytosine, guanine, guanine, right?
Correct.
Okay, right?
And the cytosine gets the on-off switch whenever it's 5' prime of the guanine. So the enzymatic reaction, the compiler puts the methyl group on any C that is in front of, it's called 5' prime of the guanine, and the chemical reaction occurs. If G comes
so effectively,
before C, that's not an on-off switch.
What Dr. Judy and people in her world have done is figured out a way to program viruses the way they want them to be. So the idea that in a lab you can specify that you want the CGG-CGG sequence at the furin cleavage site. All right, so if you're building a virus, you can say, oh, yeah, no, I have to have that. And you can put it in there. And the things Dr. Judy is describing, these are on-off switches. This is, if this is true, then I want this to happen. And that's how programming works. It's the same thing. It's just, it's biological now, and it's fascinating.
Yeah, and you both use computers. I want you to go through that CGG sequence again, because you both talk at the same time. I think it's really critical to get this on. But hold on a sec. Let's bring in Dr. Jim Thorpe. Dr. Jim, come on in. Sign in, please, and let's hear your observation, and then I want to get back to this. I think this is what I love about this panel. I prepare things, and I totally throw them out the window. We just go off on these incredible tangents that are so far better than anything I could have prepared. This is why this is so fascinating. Jim, welcome to the program. How you doing?
Well, good morning, Jim. Gentlemen. It's good to
Don't
hear
forget
from
Judy.
All of you. I'm getting to that if you'd give me a chance, Greg.
I'm sorry. Hyperactive talk show host.
Dr. Judy, it's good to hear your voice. Good to be with you. And John and Greg, it's great to be with you guys. I'm Dr. Jim Thorpe. I'm a board-certified obstetrician gynecologist, also board-certified maternal fetal medicine specialist. So I've been doing high-risk OB for 43 years and currently a very high volume of obstetrics in my practice. I think I'm on track for 8,000 high-risk OBs this year. So I'm focused on clinical research and on policy change through my areas of interest, and that's clinical data accumulation. But thank you so much for having me on, Greg. You do a great job with this show.
Well, thank you. It's you guys. I mean, I just ask the questions, you know, and then we sort of run with them. Have you come across programming of this type in your practice? Does the programming of genes, I mean, of viruses and the programming of computers, do you get any of that interface in what you do? Or do you have any comments on it? That was fascinating.
Well, yes. I mean, I like to say that it's my field that made a lot of incredible advances in the genetics of reproduction, and much of the genetics platform have really orbited around my specialty in terms of fetal diagnostics, in terms of exactly what Dr. Judy and John are talking about. And now it's evolved to the point where we can actually harvest cellular-free DNA from the fetus in mom's blood circulation. And we've been working on that for 20 years, and now we use non-invasive prenatal testing. We can draw mom's blood, and there is circulating free fetal DNA, which is released at the level of the placenta. Now, DNA has a long half-life compared to RNA in maternal circulation. So we can look at these TCGA sequences with certain probes, and we can diagnose vast array of fetal pathologies with a DNA load variance and many other problems that I won't get into that are probably beyond.
Can you reprogram DNA and put it back?
Well, I don't do that. I know that that technology is available through CRISPR, and I also know that I'd like to hear John and Dr. Judy talk about this, but you know this epigenetic stuff that Dr. Judy is so expert on and so knowledgeable on. I have heard that there are codes that relate to CRISPR in the RNA that's reverse transcribed. And I'd like to hear Dr. Judy comment on that.
Let's do that. And I got John Cullen on two lines. I want to make sure of which one's working. So we'll get to him in a second. Judy, CRISPR. I was like, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it's basically just imagine a pair of scissors that go in very specifically and cut the piece of DNA and insert, you know, excise that, pull it out, and then just put in another base pair, another codon. It's called mm-hmm. transfer RNA, and viruses do this at the end. The transfer RNA is carrying a very specific base pair. And so, yes, and Jim just said reverse transcribe. It's very important. That means write backwards. You've got to write mRNA backwards into DNA, and of course, human beings have a polymerase called Theta that was really just published in July of 2021. Just published, I say, not known. It's how we're telling people a different story. Oh, look what we just found, and we knew it 40 years ago. So now we're rewriting the literature in order to make it look like, oh, aren't we brilliant, like Zedong, whatever. Aren't we just brilliant? Look what this student just figured out. Somebody just handed it to him, and he's dumb enough in his arrogance to take it and not look any further as to the details. But anyway, yes, reverse transcribe. Polymerase Theta does it better than HIV, RT, these retroviruses that we've isolated. So in understanding the on-off switch, yeah, there are pieces. You only need a few sequences, and you can see we don't know what they've put in each shot because, of course, it's proprietary. But this is what David Martin has been saying all along, and this is his expertise. I did a molecular virology postdoc. When you get a PhD in the sciences, you do a postdoctoral tenure. Mine was about 6 years, maybe 8 years, in looking just at those on and off switches. So what my PhD suggested was that these things existed at the molecular level. But what we didn't know, and that's when I started working, collaborating with Stephen Balin, I looked at the biology. I looked at the biology with disease and said, wait a minute, in everybody with the people with disease, an on-off switch called NF-kappa-B is in the nucleus of their cells. Doesn't matter how much virus is in their blood. In the cells, I separated the cytoplasm from the nucleus. And so when I tried to publish that work, they said, you're an idiot. NF-kappa-B, everybody knows, is a cytoplasmic protein. And so it can't, your nuclei aren't purified very well, even though from the technology of the time, it was clear there were no cytoplasmic proteins in there. So they didn't publish the paper. I threw it in the desk drawer and went on. And normally a career would end if they won't publish your paper. So a few years later, somebody molecularly clones inhibitor of NF-kappa-B, I-kappa-B, and showed when a phosphate group, a phosphorylation occurs to that protein, it changes the shape of the protein, and that protein is holding NF-kappa-B in the cytoplasm. So NF-kappa-B is locked and loaded in the gun to go anytime a particular pathogen needs to make the antibodies or the cytokine storm. Oh, that just happens to be COVID, just happened to be AIDS, just happened to be XMRV. You don't get disease unless the on-off switch that turns on the flame and the rest of the immune response is in the nucleus of the cell talking to the RNA DNA. And our RNA and talking to the DNA. And our DNA is wound up in chromosomes tightly protected by an insulation, literally of various kinds of post of protection, insulation of the DNA, so it's never expressed. So that code isn't available to be hacked by anything they emit. So they can't hack our code, and they know it, and that's why they're hammering us right now. So then they learned that little piece in 92. So they published our paper. I literally just stapled the reviewer who said, you're an idiot, NF-kappa B is a cytoplasmic protein, and said, here, asshole. Sorry, I talked.
No, it's okay. Listen, I
everybody knows that's how I write my email.
Oh, I believe it. Well, I've seen some of them, yeah. She really does write like that, yeah. And that's on a good day.
And so, and basically, and then they publish it. And they act like they discovered it. And we showed you, as Jim is saying, at the clinical level. Yeah, mm-hmm. When this happens, when thalidomide is applied during this part, this is the molecular pathway that doesn't happen. The on-off switch never develops arms. And it only happens during this area. And when that fertilized embryo, the blastocyst, is implanted in the uterine cell wall and it's being fed but through the umbilical cord, everything he knows better than I do. All those on-off switches go off and you create a new human being according to the code of the mom and the code of the dad. And you've got to protect that from everything, those on-off switches, because they're now naked and exposed. And we don't see naked CPGs, meaning without a methyl group, in humans. There are whole stretches. They call them CPG islands, CG, CG, CG. And they're all wound so tight that in electron micrographs, that's what we all the way back in the 50s and 60s were the knots on the rope. It's not expressed. It's protected. You can't hack it unless you inject these toxins in this mRNA of any other animal or the synthetic one that's the COVID shot. And this is what we're trying to show people. Never since 1986, and we started using these cell lines containing human RNA and DNA and protein from another human, MRC, WI-35, the aborted fetal cell lines. They're cell lines. They grow continuously. They have every kind of pathogen. Pathogens like bacteria have naked CPG, meaning that recognize that's a pathogen-associated molecular pattern. And our immune system, that flame, that NF-kappa B, goes right to the nucleus and says, send the fire trucks to the fire and put it out. And the nucleus knows where the fire is because every organ system is protected by a stem cell resident monocyte macrophage that evolves in embryogenesis well before the blood stem cell. And they talk to each other because you'll go and put out the fire and turn away from the growth of the host, and things won't develop appropriately. It's really, and they know exactly how to do it. That's why they abandoned everything in 2011 when they were liable for the injury, because they had to if you could make a vaccine safer. So our work showed, oh, wait a minute, you can't use any of these cell lines. You can't ever put monkey in human or mouse or manufactured or bacteria or baculovirus or insect. And this is where we made all our vaccines. That's the manufacturing plant that is proprietary. So the virus isn't a sequence. And you can't hack our genome unless you transfect it, unless you inject it. So xenotransplantation, end of it, stop the whole program. That's where the legislation goes. No more does anybody inject anything or ingest anything that is GMO, and we'll strictly prevent that, and it's all over.
Okay, so let me clear up John Collins' line. I want to make sure. So, John, are you in this line, or do you want me to click on the new line? If you don't answer me, I'll know to click on the new line. Are you on this line? All right, that answers my question. So let's do that. Let's take him on this line and take out that line. Okay, we got you now. All right. So Judy's had my head explode a second time, and she's on a roll. This is fascinating. So here's the way I see this going. You know, me, I try and make big pictures out of everything. You know, like I say, the 40,000-foot view. We have a nucleus, and we have on and off switches in our nucleus. And it seems like human beings go one of two ways. They go the way you folks go for cures and preventions and health. And then there's the bioweapon side where they go for mass extermination, death, mayhem, you know, nuclear wars, world wars, things like that. Is this what's happening? The Dr. Fascists of the world, they're looking for ways to turn the nucleus parts on to create disease. You folks are looking for ways to turn various parts off to prevent disease. Is it that simple, Judy?
Yeah, it's that simple as turning back, because God's given us every plant and animal for food we need to keep things off and keep things balanced in homeostasis. On when they're supposed to be on in development, and off when they're supposed to be off. It's that simple.
Interesting.
Let me ask you,
go ahead, John.
Let me ask you this. So we were funding over 40 biolabs in Ukraine. Do you think that work that we were doing there was to cure anything? You think we're working on a new Flintstone chewable over there in the Ukraine? Why are we funding 40 laboratories in the Ukraine? I love Dr. Judy, and Dr. Judy used to work at U.S. AMRID, right? I mean, Dr. Judy knows what's going on. This was Walter Reed. This is the military. This is the militarization of viruses. Right. And now we're starting to become aware of it. In Dr. Judy's book, In Plague of Corruption, she's talking about the backstory and this environment in which corruption thrives. And there's so much more of it that has taken place, I'm afraid, that people aren't even aware of. Even in Bobby Kennedy's book, he doesn't get into what happened in 2004, 2005. And this was something that Ray Kurzweil and Bill Joy is the founder of Sun Microsystems, and he's a billionaire. He works at KPMG now as a partner. He's got a huge sailboat. You know, one of these guys speaks at TED, friend of Larry Ellison, that kind of thing. So Bill Joy and Ray Kurzweil in 2005 said, what the hell? Dr. Fauci and Francis Collins are resurrecting the Spanish flu virus? Why?
Well, let's go back to the nucleus. Can they turn on the Spanish flu? Are we carrying remnants of Spanish flu in our nucleus? And can they find a way to turn that on? Or do they have to reinfect us with Spanish flu that we don't have it? John?
Yeah, what they did.
Or Judy?
Judy.
Yeah, what they did was they exhumed the bodies, and this was another one of my famous emails. I keep getting myself in trouble with my big mouth.
That's anyway, what we love,
they,
Judy.
They exhumed the bodies of the people who were in Alaska who had died from the Spanish flu. So their bodies were frozen. The RNA, the DNA was not degraded. As Jim just mentioned, the RNA degrades easily, the DNA does not. So it was stable in the frozen temperatures. So they pulled it out and they zoomed them and they cloned the virus that caused the pandemic strain of influenza in 1918, the pandemic strain of influenza A. And then they looked at each individual codon, nucleotide in there and said, where are the pathogenic pieces? What causes the fire to go on the highest and not go out? Why this variant versus the other? And then they simply cloned it, put it in an expression vector, a piece that has all the on-off switches on it, finishes the virus, and they make a virus. Yeah, that's what an infectious molecular clone is. And so that was 2004. Yeah. And then they found, and then they do their testing of what will solve the problem. Oh, hydroxychloroquine works on that one. They published that in 2005. And so do they put that plandemic strain, the flunami strain, in the 2019 flu shot that goes to Italy? Because you've got the virus stocks. You've got stocks, mix and match, whole freezers full, and I've got them all. Whole freezers full of cell line with this virus, that virus, that. Can we grow it in human embryonic kidney cell line, the manufacturing plant? Do we have to grow it in Vero monkey kidney cells? Do we line? It's a manufacturing. Do we put it in clone E6 of that one? It's simply a mix and match parts and figure out how which manufacturing plant makes the most virus and how you can, as you know, that criminal Ralph Barrick says, what's the no method. So you've got so many viruses in that E6 cell line that you add one more that only has one base pair or two different. And then you add a furin cleavage site. So it'll just chop in half and aid your immune system that will see it no matter what they weaponize. And this is diabolical. They did this when they made XMRV. You know, I'm like, wait a minute. I heard that furin cleavage site and that TNRPSS2 thing before. Where'd I hear that before? Oh, XMRV, that's what Bob Silverman and Joe Derisi, who give TED Talks and talked all about how they discovered on an on-off switch panel who gets infectious cancer-causing XMRV, xenotropic monkey mouse manufactured cancer causing virus. That's what it means. Retrovirus. You have an RT, you turn it backward, and now you insert yourselves into the DNA forever of the most susceptible. And every time they immune activate, whether with another GMO, that subset of cells, these people drive closer and closer to AIDS, acquired immune deficiency, dysfunction, cancer, whatever it looks like, in the population that's most susceptible and missing because of their whatever, how they, I mean, it's horrible to look at these papers and show how they changed the base pair to, and they could target the Jewish or people who have BRCA1, which is, it's called breast cancer gene. That's ridiculous. It's a DNA repair gene. It goes in and it cuts out those nucleotides that are wrong and it puts in the right one. It's called, and viruses don't have the function that can go back and fix the mistake. Human beings have tens of hundreds of functions. And oh, that's a mistake. I'm taking it out of there. God knows. So this is where you know it's pure evil. And that's all we have to do to fix it is say no more. You will never force the injection or injection. You will declare on every label if you've used any of this technology in any of your products, because all you have to do is lace them with the sequence. That's what people don't appreciate about this ridiculous, deadly PCR test. You're amplifying just as they did from the people, the dead people in Alaska, what the sequence was that killed the susceptible. You're amplifying it and spreading it around hospitals, any place where they're doing that test. And there's no function for repair. It doesn't matter. You're putting a hand sanitizer and poking microscopic holes. You're wearing a mask that's crippling your innate immune system, and you're inhaling the sequences every time you walk in a pharmacy where all those old people who have, or people with inflammatory disease, or fat people, the most susceptible, who are they? Oh, they can't detox. They're just spitting that virus at you from the PCR. Stop it. PCR has nothing to do with a Q-tip up your nose. That's rape. I'll hock and spit on the ground since in pandemic they said, oh, no sequences on the ground. She said there were sequences on the ground. You know, okay, go for it. You know, do whatever you want, but you won't stick a Q-tip up my nose. you know, because again, God's given us enzymes in our saliva to clip all of those sequences if we don't put a mask on and cripple ourselves. And John was the first one who reminded me of the great influenza by John M. Barry, and we're talking September 25th or so, 2020. And I'm getting the questions, and I'm like, Frank, I don't know any of this. What's going on? And Frank's on his computer doing what Frank always does, and that's looking it up. And the book's sitting right in front of me on my shelf, and I picked it up, and I'm like, oh, my God, it says cytokine storm. Yeah, they're wearing a mask. They're doing the same thing. Had nothing to do with Spain. They're the ones that wouldn't allow the vaccination program and the pollution in their world and in their country. So we're just going to blame it on them, call it the Spanish flu, call everything COVID, cremate the victims, and declare it forever. And then they're just repeating.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
I have two questions for Dr. Judy, if that's okay, Greg. One of them.
Go for it.
All right. So I'm going to tell you both questions, and then we'll get into it. One of them is about this Novavax. So we just approved or authorized Novavax, and I'm looking at the Novavax process. They have their vaccine design process documented, and step number one, not two, not three, number one, step number one, SARS-CoV-2 spike gene inserted into insect virus. Insect virus.
All right. Yeah, that's the second time I've heard an insect reference today. I'm going, what? Tell me more.
Let me read it, because this is kind of a big deal. So newly approved or authorized vaccine called Novavax. The way it is created is they take the spike gene, the spike protein from SARS-CoV-2, and they insert it into a baculovirus, B-A-C-U-L-O virus. Mm-hmm. And if you go to sciencedirect.com, you'll find out that baculoviruses are a family of insect viruses that double-stranded DNA genome that can accommodate multiple additional foreign genes. Isn't that comforting?
Well, insects multiply so quickly, the generations happen so often, it's like the perfect place to have mutations, variations, and things like that. Chidi, what's going on with the bugs? Are we cloning bugs?
Why are we growing viruses in bugs instead of chicken eggs?
Because, again, you can make more of it, and they recombine in a very certain way. And I just want to remind everybody, because your audience has to watch Plandemic Indoctrination. Look, mm-hmm. Go look at science magazines. What do they tell you? We're giving you flying syringes. Oh, man, Melinda Gates told us we're giving you flying syringes. What did they do in Brazil in 2016 and 17? They tested their little Zika game. And in their little Zika game, they took an RNA virus. And I'm just going to say baculoviruses have been used in dozens of vaccines. Dozens of vaccines that are given to your children without ever testing it. So this is, again, backing it back off. Yeah, insect cells. Why? Because they package little segments of flaviviruses. I'm looking for the paper right now, and it was a 2016 paper from Cell that oh so quietly just showed you all about the insect viruses and how they compartmentalize different pieces. And if you put them in the fly, you can mix and match pangolins and then inject them. The insects bite the monkeys, bite the bats, bite the people, and you've transmitted your vaccine, which is what they promised you. And they've been doing it and testing it, and those cases ending up in vaccine court, you know, literally for the decade we worked in that, for the 5 years, the only job I could get in 15 was to work for sweet lawyers who called us and said, Judy, can you help our clients? because nobody would go there and opine for the victims. And scientific opinion is exactly what is happening. And we showed you the Zika. You know, we showed you the CDC, and then you'll remember Del Bigtree in the High Wire back in 17 with the whole Zika thing that stopped the Olympics in Brazil. Think about what's going on in Brazil. Brazil has such a rich farmland, natural products that stop all of this. You know, it's not the presence of the virus, it's the expression. So, yeah, they promise you flying mosquitoes. They're releasing them over Miami and Florida right now. They did it in Zika. They tested it. But what did Del Bigtree do? Oh, he said, no, Zika doesn't live in any parts of this country, but AB and, you know, the tip of Miami and things like that. And so they did a spraying program. Oh, so throw a little Roundup and a little glyphosate on it and put and make people more susceptible. And spray them. And that's exactly what they did. They sprayed the Brazilians. They had a DTP shot, a deadly shot at the same time. And then they're just simply having a field day on the poorest of our society. And the government's caught them, by the way, and got angry. And you know, as they took out the Olympics in Brazil, and they arrested a swimmer. I mean, you could look at these things going on and said he did something he didn't do to deflect the attention that basically they were going to serve up one of theirs in order to cover up the crimes, just like they did to cover up William Thompson's crime. I mean, they never change the playbook. So, yeah, mosquitoes. I'm just looking for the paper, but I've shown people.
Well, I was going to get
mosquitoes
because we get them from we get yellow fever from mosquitoes. They have the various flu bugs. I forgot what it is. Some of the other things that are around here. It's not Zika, but it's something else that is some fever, malaria, and there's another fever that you get in Florida from mosquitoes. So they're basically weaponizing mosquoitoes. They're implanting mosquitoes.
And so the paper.
Oh, okay.
The paper is called, it's from Cell, Host, and Microbe. It's called A Multi-Component Animal Virus Isolated from Mosquitoes. Multi-component viruses which separately package different genome segments were thought to be restricted to plant and fungal mushroom hosts. Fungal, parasitic hosts. This paper in 2016 characterizes a multi-component mosquito virus and describe an evolutionarily related segmented virus from non-human primates. Oh, it looks like a pangolin. I mean, they know exactly GCXV is an envelope multi-component virus that infects mosquitoes. They can mix and match the parts and put them into these baculovirus vectors. And the really creepy things about all of that is those things are used to infect the cell lines that are in our lab, the human, the monkey, the embryonic. And so they're mixing and matching them and literally allowing them to recombine, knowing exactly how they recombine. And then in the databases, changing the splice acceptor and donor sites as they did with what they called pre-XMRV1 and pre-XMRV2. The immaculate recombination only happened once, folks. You don't have to worry about it. We put that bad Dr. Judy in jail because she never isolated anything from humans with disease. And now those happen to be called Omicron and every other variant. And that's what these are, the XMRVs. You mix and match retroviruses, pieces and parts, and put them into these expression vectors. That's what I did for my molecular virology postdoc. I took that natural virus, human T cell leukemia, caused a deadly adult T cell, the first human disease associated retrovirus. When John Coffin and the whole government said, don't bother to Frank Rossetti looking in 1975, don't bother looking for human retroviruses. They don't exist. And Frank Rossetti said, oh, don't be ridiculous. Humans are animals, all animals and kingdoms. Plants have retroviruses. Plants have the same pattern recognition, pathogen-associated molecular pattern dangers so that pathogens don't evade them. There are herbivores. You know, the Venus flytrap is a carnivorous plant, you know. And so this is the problem. These sequences have been in our databases. They know exactly how to mix and match them. And now they've taken away all your choices. They know who's going to get hurt. They did it in vaccine court to the tune of $5 billion, and they corrupted all of that. And then if you could make a vaccine safer and you didn't do it, the whole program makes you liable. That's what we discovered in 2011, and that's what, John, we've been talking about since the beginning of this. Not enough people have died. Oh, but enough trillions have died, because all liability returns. Forget the program. It's over. They didn't do their job. They didn't do their testing. Oh, yeah, they did do their testing. And the NVICP, the program of compensation, the movie that Andy Wakefield made, 1986theact.com, it shows you how they literally took a program that would have ended all of this. When Barbara Lowe Fisher and Mike Hugo wrote the law, when kids were getting in disease from that DTP shot, the susceptible, literally that program would have stopped the whole thing. So Tony Fauci and colleagues at HHS committed crime after crime after crime. Nothing that I've done in the past years or ever in my life, being arrested, all of that stuff was as horrific as watching them force the military, the blacks, into shot after shot, and you could see the injury progress. And it's like I'm looking, as I'm reading the files of these kids, and I'm looking at their parents who just keep being told, no, it doesn't have anything to do with that. And it's like a Alfred Hitchcock movie. No, don't go in the shower, because you see the next shot is going to kill that kid. You see the next shot is the point of no return, and you appreciate. And that is, you know, that's what we did from 2015 to 19. So in 19, they're like, gigs up, folks. You know, Dell caught us with the FOIAs. Brian Hooker's caught us. Children Health Defense caught us. Everybody caught them. The WHO announced publicly, we don't have any idea how these things are killing people. We don't have any idea how this flu shot's killing people. Oh, but if you get a flu shot, you're 36% more likely to be diagnosed with COVID. Well, COVID doesn't exist. It's not a disease. It's a collection of sick people around the world who you've injured, and now you're going to take a shot that doesn't say SARS-CoV-2 vaccine, like Novavax. It says COVID-19 vaccine, because it's the humanized SARS-CoV-2. It is not. It's a bioweapon. It is not a vaccine against SARS-CoV-2. That's a monkey virus. I'm sorry. It comes right out of the monkey. And so this whole argument that they all want us to go back to the virus is this. You know, they're turning our attention away and attempting to also quietly put baculoviruses. Yeah, every kingdom has viruses and endogenous viromes of their own to protect, turn on and off those on-off switches. And we can't hack humans, because we're not our DNA, we're our chromosomes. And if we realize that and turn away, they're done with their little game. And they can't kill the injured. They can't cover up the crime. They can't, and that's the game. Kill the injured, cremate them. And that's what I said in my email. Oh, what are you going to do? How many new viruses we created? I wrote this in 2011, August 31st. How many new viruses have we created? And covering them up and killing the innocent, you know, and pretending it's our own genetics.
Can we talk about covering them up for a second? Because the hypothesis that I've had is that since, in other words, my hypothesis is based on the data. And the data shows us that we had 4,000 people a week dying from influenza PNI in January, February, and March of 2020 before COVID arrived in the United States. And so when I saw that outbreak, I looked backwards in time and said, all right, well, what was happening before that? What happened in the summer of 2019? And in the summer of 2019, we saw the worst influenza outbreak in Australia that they've had since the Spanish flu. The worst outbreak in Australia since the Spanish flu was in the summer of 2019. And then in January 2020, 4,000 people a week start dying in the United States. Every week. This is unprecedented. We never had 10 weeks, 12 weeks, 15 weeks, where 4,000 people were dying every week from influenza PNI. That never happened before. So that's what got my attention. And I said, well, why would they not want to tell anybody about that? Why would you keep this massive influenza outbreak a secret unless it was a strain that had a fingerprint that pointed back to Walter Reed? Which, if that was the case, would you then want to sort of hand-pick another virus that you know is going to create almost identical symptoms? In other words, this other virus that we have in the lab will present almost identically to the virus I don't want people to know is going around the world. So in other words, if Dr. Fauci released this H1N1 reconstructed pandemic influenza at zero in Australia in the summer of 2019, and then contacts Peter Daszak and says to Daszak, hey, you know that SARS-CoV-2 we've been working on, the one with the GP120 sequence and the CGG furin cleavage site? You know that one I'm talking about, right? What if that got out at the Wuhan Games? We could spread that around the world pretty quick because I got athletes from all over the world at the Wuhan Games. So if you spread SARS-CoV-2 at the Wuhan Games, everybody's going to blame this on China, posed to Walter Reed. Now, how do you get away? Now, how do you get all the doctors to not diagnose the influenza? You switch over to PCR testing and you stop doing cultures. Because the PCR test is only going to find the sequences that are in the array. And the test from BioFire only has 5 influenzas in it. And PDM09 is a seasonal influenza. That's not pandemic influenza. You know, it was the 2009 pandemic only killed 12,000 Americans. That's not the same as reconstructed pandemic influenza. Reconstructed pandemic influenza, the one they went to Alaska to recreate and they cloned, is BSL-4. That's balloon suit, you know, low pressure, high pressure stuff. There's only, you know, certain BSL-4 labs. In fact, the only BSL-4 laboratory in China, the only one, is in Wuhan. That's it. They don't have any others. And in Canada, they have the lab in Winnipeg. So if Dr. Fauci had a release of reconstructed pandemic influenza, the H1N1, the Blue Death, the Spanish flu, and then wants to blame it on a virus from Wuhan, wants to blame it on China, he wants to set them up, could you pick a virus and say, oh, wait a second, this coronavirus we've been working on, that's going to create a cytokine storm. That's going to destroy the lungs. That should make the lips blue, just like Spanish flu. This is perfect. This is a perfect cover. That's what I think happened. And to your plague of corruption, this is so much darker and scarier than anything I think even you could have imagined, Dr. Judy. I think this is genocide.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's not a coronavirus. It's a pararetrovirus. It's got HIV, and it's got all that entirely important XMRV envelope syncytin, you know, the fusogenic protein by our own HERV W gene that holds the fertilized embryo into the uterine cell wall. And until too much RNA or DNA from the father or baby, whatever, gets into mom. So she's immune suppressed. You know, that's when
This is the first I'm hearing of this part. Yeah. And I'm sure Dr. Jim Thorpe wants to get in on
this.
He's
still with
us.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the
site?
What were we just talking about?
That's why.
Yeah, what's this? So this isn't, explain this part, maybe slow that part down a little bit. What's this?
Okay, so XMRV, xenotropic murine leukemia virus-related retrovirus. So it's got the piece of the spike envelope of a leukemia-causing mouse, monkey, or manufactured virus, because all the way from lizards, this syncytin peptide plays a role in immunity. in innate immunity, and in a lot of different things, like it's the fusogenic protein. This protein fuses. Syncytin means, the word is spelled S-Y-N-C-Y-T-I-N. Synthesized together cells, cyto, synthesized cells together. And those fusogenic pieces could literally allow RNA, the blueprint of a virus, to pass through brains of cells because you fuse them together, and it escaped the immune response, where if the blood sees, if the macrophages, if the innate immune response sees a naked CpG, they say, uh-oh, that's a danger signal, that's a pathogen-associated molecular pattern, and you go gobble it up like a Pac-Man. Your macrophage says, uh-uh, and that cell is removed, or the virus, you know, that cell killed by the natural killer cells and other parts of our innate immune response. So that protein is the one that Brian Artis, and I know he's flying today, that peptide, sorry, it's not a protein, that sequence, it's about 700 base pairs of a 29,000 base pair coronavirus. So that's the envelope protein, and I know they narrowed that down. That's a spike protein. They just changed the word to spike protein. Now, what sticks out of the lipid bilayer that is shown immunogenic to the innate immune system? The HIV glycoprotein 120. It's a glycoprotein. It's post-translationally modified, put on the surface of the cell, and it tells the cell, it's the sensor that says, nope, I'm foreign. I'm HIV. I'm not your own God-given. I'm SIV. I'm a monkey one. I'm not an HIV. That's not me. That's something else. Attack, attack, attack. So now you've got HIV, which makes you a retrovirus. You've got XMRV, which makes you a retrovirus. And that virus family, it's called a gamma retrovirus, is the only virus of the human disease-causing full-length viruses, disease-associated, that infects every single cell of the body because it enters through a phosphate transporter. So now glyphosate brings it into the cell like a vacuum cleaner. So they knew exactly what they're doing, and this is what we wrote in our book, Ending Plague. So Ending Plague is the most heavily censored because we highlighted Luc Montagnier, Stephanie Seneff, showing how they took other parts of the vaccine, of the viruses and other adjuvants in these vaccines in order to cripple the immune response, and how they turned down the sensors for type 1 interferon, the interferon transmembrane domain, what goes through the cell and says, we need to turn on type 1 interferon. We need to gobble these up like Pac-Man, and that's what it does in your innate immune response. So this is the first protein I made in 1980, and this is the Paximmune that we've been denied since HIV-AIDS. So we show you how Tony Fauci first experimented on the gays, the IV drug users, et cetera. So John is absolutely right, but the intermediate on going to Wuhan or going to these biosafety level fours, BSL-4, is you, Samrid, the biosafety level four in Fort Detrick, Maryland. And it never was the flu killed these people. They put them in a mask very quickly, so they cripple that innate immune response and gobble up influenza, which is not an envelope virus. So your detection, it's unstable, as Jim just said. The RNA can be degraded really easily by your innate immune response. So then all that's left is your envelope viruses, which is meaning like you package in an envelope a letter and you send the letter through the mail, and the information in the letter doesn't get until you open up the envelope. That's a lipid bilayer. That's what Robert Malone has the patent on, as well as probably how to engineer the RNA to evade the innate immune system. Because you've got to get that particle to go to the cell and then go into the cell, open up before the immune system says, that's not me, and attacks it. So the particle is the key, the lipid bilayer. These are all synthetic viruses, and they're mixing and matching whatever they want to put in there. And this is where we have to stop it, because the liability was for using the animal cell lines, because we showed all this animal DNA with it. All animals have synthetic in mammals, and it's all the way to lizards. You know, and this is their paper in 2020 with CERM in the sodium potassium ATPase. That's their paper. Oh, wait a minute. That's a cure for Zika, Ebola. You mentioned some of the other families of viruses, HIV, enterovirus 71, which causes polio. It's just not called polio because it's a different variant that's acquired the ability to cross the blood-brain barrier and infect the brain. They've been doing these experiments since 1953-34, which is our first book, Chapter 5, in the first cases of autism, myalgic encephalomyelitis, inflammation of the brain and the spinal cord. How do we get the women? We got the kids. We got the boys. How do we get the girls? Oh, puberty. You know, that there's baculovirus in the Gardasil vaccine and a similar lipid bilayer synthetic virus-like particle. Our hepatitis B is a pararetrovirus. That means it has a piece of a retrovirus as well as the hepatovirus, the other parts. And we brought that in through contaminated albumin, bovine, cow, albumin, our food, stabilized food, stabilized medicines, you know, albumin, everything, make pills stick together. Yeah, they poisoned our food, they poisoned our water with genetically modified organisms. And they did it purposely. And yes, John, I can't even imagine. It went through Fort Detrick. I made the clone Vero E6. You think you're doing good. The Ebola Zaire is the same Ebola Reston, which came from the CIA. That's the only thing in Reston, Virginia. Ebola Reston was non-pathogenic, did nothing. Ebola Zaire was deadly. So the one in Fort Detrick that I trained to infect the cell line developed the clone called Vero E6. It was in a 96 well plate, it was E6 in a well. So that clone didn't die when I transfected or infected Ebola Zaire. And so I infected primary human monocytes that I purified from umbilical cord that were clean, 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 and had never seen anything. And the only difference between Zaire and Reston was the cytokine storm, that NF-kappa-B IL-6, the exact same overlapping cytokine storm as COVID. So they can cover up every one of these, whether it be HIV, XMRV, everybody who they injured but didn't kill. Who died in the first wave of HIV? The people that got both HIV and XMRV, and they knew it, and they killed them. They spread it with their hepatitis B vaccine, which was made just exactly as I told you, out of human pooled human blood, contaminated with the XMRVs out of the laboratories by way of laboratory workers. The women and children were getting sick. Tony Fauci denied that women and children or anybody but gay men, IV drug users, and blacks could get infected with HIV. Therefore, they could not get AIDS. And we're looking at their immune systems and saying, this is AIDS, this is AIDS, this is AIDS. And then Ryan White and Arthur Ashe. Oh, by that time when they had to admit what they did, you know, transplanted. Arthur Ashe got a heart transplant. Ryan Wright had hemophilia and got multiple blood transfusions. So multiple exposures in a person who is genetically susceptible because, you know, they have to keep putting foreign tissues in blood transfusions. Oh, those are the people that get disease. Now we've spread it through our community, nosocomial, through their parents, through the lab workers, and this is all in Plague. And in the first book, Plague, we showed you exactly how you do it, but it was heavy science, like I'm talking to you right now, and it was heavy science because Tony Fauci knew, gotcha, biatch, gotcha, you won't play that game. And that's, you know, that was when I was supposed to be dead, you know, 2011, when all of these data oh, a bunch of file boxes, you know, hundreds of years of notebooks and journals of all of these data. Oh, they were carried out of there by the FBI, out of my lab when it was locked down, and oh, yeah, and out of my home when I was accused, you know, 2 months later of stealing my own stuff, and they thought they got away with the perfect crime. But we saved all the samples. We saved all the reagents. I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. You know, well, and that's what they did. That's why they told the whole, that's Plandemic, PlandemicSeries.com. If people would just watch David Martin, and I never met him. And yes, John, I had absolutely no idea. And thank God, because, you know, I might not have been quite so bold if I said, oh, no, God, I'm not doing that. You know, I'll go to Nineveh, which is San Diego, but I'm taking an unsinkable boat. I named Jonah, and it's a Boston whaler, you know, because my husband's in search and rescue. Well, God didn't laugh at my blasphemy, and baby Jonah saved our lives when we escaped certain death when they surrounded my house and took everything out of it, you know, November 9th.
Well, you're in good company. They just went to Trump's house. So it's like it seems that the FBI has, you know, anybody that opposes the deep state, whether by medicine or by politics, they're going after you. Judy, this is you not being bold. I just want to get that clear. This is where we're going here. Well, let me ask you.
I don't care. What are you going to do to me? Kill me? You know? Oh, yeah. Then I get what I'm getting. The goal is to go to heaven, right? You know, this is torture, as my husband said. I'm taking the stairway to heaven. You're taking the highway to hell. Get back in your car. See you later, Nick. See you later, honey. That's exactly what his last words.
I think all of us
would
do this.
I'm taking the stairway to heaven. I'm out of here.
Yeah. You know, I think anybody who takes on the state sort of makes that kind of pledge themselves. It's like, you know, whatever they do to us, whatever they do to me, it doesn't matter. It's still worth it. It's still worth doing. Let me ask you a question here, and then and get Jim back in this, and then John, of course, I think has more questions. Judy, first of all, I love having you on the show. I mean, you're an incredible wealth of information, and it's fascinating. Although I do wish I had a biochemistry course before we talked. I mean, I should feel like I should be wearing a white jacket or something like that. Anyway, here's the question. It sounds like you know how this happened. It sounds to me like these are what they call binary weapons. You know, where you mix two gases together, the gases aren't that deadly at first, you know, but you put them together and they become lethal. This sounds like the injection is part of the puzzle. So they give you an injection, they set up your nucleus. Then they expose COVID out there, put it in the air, or somehow there's like multiple ways that by the time it gets to the human body through the flu shot sets you up, the COVID shot kills you. You know, and it's a binary weapon. So in other words, one invades the nucleus and the other turns the bad stuff on. And so my question is, knowing everything you know now, is it possible to set up another industry that works against this death industry that it seems to be out there that can get us things that can keep our nucleus from being invaded, can keep our off switches off? In other words, are there preventables out there? And I wouldn't say like other shots or things like that, but you know, other than how can we help our natural immune system, you know, especially from all the people out there that have the shot, that we are breathing the stuff that they're breathing, that mosquitoes are biting, you know, healthy people and vaccinated people, that we do have a health system that is transfusing blood from, you know, vaccinated COVID folks to, you know, normal healthy people in surgery. How do we prevent, or is there a way to counter what these people have done? Or is it too ingrained in the system? Okay. So what do we do?
Absolutely. That's the fabulous part. We solved it all. I just told you. We just solved it all with HIV/AIDS. HIV never did cause AIDS. Where did it all go? Oh, we've got all those drugs we made and the taxpayers paid for. You see the commercials for prophylaxis.
Like
Bactrin? Oh, that's a prevention. Oh, like minocycline, like interesting antibiotics. The drugs we made a lot of purinergic modulators, including Brilinta, which stops platelets from sticking together. Though that's purinergic modulation is what we're talking about with ATP and GTP. Those are purines in our base pairs. The pyrimidines are C and T. So, yeah, the fun thing about all this is I've been sitting at my desk for the last 10 years and for the last 40 years showing you these things don't have to kill you, and all you have to do is turn back to God's clean food. Dimethylglycine, two methyl groups on the amino acid glycine, is the on-off switch. It'll change autism, the vascular. You just put that methyl group on because we've so polluted our glycine with glyphosate, glycine with a phosphate group on it. This is why Stephanie Senna's Toxic Legacy is in her book. And Stephanie shows you how that messes up sulfur metabolism. So we've got it all And all we have to do is say, no, thank you, bye-bye, see ya. I'm going to go eat my food.
let me get this documented here so everybody knows what we're talking about here. So dimethylglycine, is that a food product? Is it something that your body makes from food? What is it?
It's an amino acid, 2-methyl groups on glycine, your critical smallest amino acid in your body, and it's normally found in plants and in
which plants? In
animal food. All plants have glycine, dimethylglycine,
okay.
So food and in animals, because all animals have to methylate their endogenous virome, have to put methyl groups. We used to get it from food. Now our food is poisoned because glyphosate from Roundup is glycine with a phosphate group on it. So we're no longer eating dimethylglycine. We're not getting it in processed foods. We can get small amounts in fruits and vegetables, more in clean meat. We must have, this is our whole methylation pathway. And it starts with choline. It's food. They started with poisoning the food and the water. And then all they had to do was inject the pathogen. So we've got to clean up our food, clean up our soil, because viruses enter cells through amino acid transporters. You've got to get food into the cell. We've destroyed our cells with fake fat. So we no longer have a lipid bilayer. Our egg yolks are dirty, so we don't, because we dip eggs in chlorine to put them in a grocery store, and then we break the shell. We put microscopic holes in the shell, just like we put microscopic holes in our skin when we use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer, and we dry those sequences, and they go right into our skin. The snake needs a fang to insert the venom unless you put holes in our stomach with glyphosate, with Roundup, with genetically modified plants whose viromes don't do the right thing. I'm reading a paper. I'm trying to break it down for Autism One. So Autism One is next week. And God's given us everything we need, and we've healed these kids with autism, with chlorine dioxide. We've healed these kids with autism, and all along the way, with various treatments, with various foods, restoring the gut, and they're simple foods, but they're clean foods, and we have to clean up our foods because our foods are poison, and that's why they're taking all our nutrients like N-acetylcysteine. That's another modified amino acid. We're supposed to get these things from plants and animals that are given to us as food. You know, we are not intended to eat insects. We're not intended to eat GMO. It doesn't go well for us. And this
is that
why
they're buying the farmlands? You think that's why they're buying the farmland, so that they will produce nothing but GMO, disgusting food? We won't have natural sources of food anymore?
Yes, and we've got to protect the seed. So that's what a lot of us are doing on the side. So Nutritional Frontiers is where I was teaching nutrition this past weekend in Pittsburgh. Looks at why I wasn't on the call last week. And so we're teaching them the various products. And we're going to have to get these things in our cupboard, and I use it as a basis for health. So the easiest answer for your question is look at me. I'm the healthiest 64-year-old on the planet, and so was my husband. I mean, I cried seeing his autopsy because it worked. His veins didn't have anything. His brain wasn't ischemic. He didn't have kidney disease. He had hydroxychloroquine, which protects you against inflammatory viruses if you have COPD, an inflammatory disease. We've been lied to. These aren't genetic diseases. They're inflammatory. And all we have to do is stop inappropriate immune activation. That means don't eat GMO, don't ingest it, and don't inject it. And then turn back to clean food. Food pyramid is turned upside down. It was always wrong, and they knew it. And so
what should it be?
There's no such thing as junk food. There's junk and there's food. You know, and we just coin new words. Junk food is junk, and it's killing us. So the food pyramid, healthy fat. Your cells are lipid bilayers. Fat. Carbohydrates.
Sources?
We're salt and light. We're not sugar and sweet. Salt is preservative. We need sodium, potassium, ATPase. It tells the energy where the body needs the energy. We're not we're not signaling our cells. It's the sensors. Protect the cells, protect the sensors, and then God's given us every protection in between to make sure nothing goes through that nuclear membrane. We're not plants with cell walls where the bacteria and the bacteriophages have to literally inject with a flagellum. You know, that's different classes of pathogens. We're protected from that even if we're injected. Borrelia, chronic Lyme disease caused by Borrelia burgdorferi, or however you say it. Borrelia, that's the neurotropic Borrelia of many of that family. And that drills holes, but it's clinically indistinguishable from myalgic encephalomyelitis. So how did they cover up the explosion of chronic Lyme disease, which is being injected in every shot? Because the laboratory, the cell lines, they have Borrelia, Babesia, mycoplasma, mold. They don't just have viruses. All these things recombining in their little baculovirus. You know, they could package anything they want. But the good news is we've seen who's injured, and my goal was always fix it. Frank Grissetti taught me, never show a problem unless you show a solution. When we showed beyond a shadow of a doubt the blood supply was contaminated, a smart company came to us and said, it's the minute our paper was published, we can clean that up, called Cirrus. And they did. And Cirrus and the government kind of captured them. And they made a whole lot of money. So can they clean it up now and lie and say Judy Mikovits is a fool because the blood supply was never contaminated? We got all the samples. I'm just going to keep telling you. We have all the pictures. We have all the data. We have all the samples. And we've got you. We've got the reagents that will prove it. We've got the monoclonal antibodies that will heal you. We've got the Genvoyas and the Truvadas. And we know exactly who's patient, and we can deliver those to the various parts of the body with delivery systems that aren't systemic. That's what budesonide and Pulmicort is. It's lung-specific steroids. Don't systemically apply a steroid and suppress the whole immune system because you create more damage. So, you see, we understand how to fix it all.
Yeah, let me hold you up for a second. I marked the time here. It's 11:22 my time. I want to put a note here on the show, and so people can go directly to this point in the show. If you can give the correct food pyramid, the natural things that we should do, if you would do the Judy Mikovits, you know, back to better health, away from immune-destroying stuff, could you just outline what people should do and eat and just, I mean, specific products, you know, what kind of foods, what does the reverse pyramid look like? And so I want to, you know, sure, you can just give people a plan, a simple plan that every average person can follow to go back to health, right, and boost our immune system. What would we do?
Yep. First thing you do is don't inject or ingest GMO. And then it's on our website, actually, and you can find these things because that's what we've been doing. shop.therealdrjudy.com. We show you packages of protection given your susceptibilities. If you've got gut issues, we give you a GI protocol to heal the tight junction in the gut. If you've got brain issues, leaky brain, OCD, these things, we give you how to heal. And this all came from the Nutritional Frontiers meeting, and I'll put all of those where the food pyramid was the first thing Jamie, the CEO of the company, showed you. So all of those things are on our website, therealdrjudy.com. So we show you how to strengthen your innate immune response. But right now, the most important thing is get some of these clean powders into your liquids, because if you, like Chris, I love Chris Wart, Chris Beat Cancer. So they cut out the colon cancer, and then he started juicing. He said, no chemotherapy. I'm not going to poison myself. I'm going to strengthen my innate immune system. And it's fabulous. Good on you. But you can't juice carrots because you can get cirrhosis of the liver from vitamin A. And by the way, our carrots are contaminated with glyphosate. Or if you're homeless like me, I don't have a juicer. So how did I keep myself well through the last let's see, I seroconverted to XMRVs, Omicron, Ebola, you name it, you know, since the 90s. And so meaning I have an antibody. So if I have an antibody, I'm already immune. My innate immune system already did its job. And this is what has to happen in the testing. If you're talking about your pandemic preparedness, No more. Do not confuse the words. Magic Johnson tested positive with an antibody, meaning he was immune, meaning he would develop antibody-dependent enhancement if he got any other vaccine. We never inoculated a HIV carrier person. You're not asymptomatic carrier of a coronavirus. You're an asymptomatic carrier of a retrovirus. SARS-CoV-2 is a pararetrovirus. So you keep that from going on and infecting more cells. You keep it latent. You keep it dormant. That was my PhD thesis. Keep it dormant. You'll never get testing positive. It's not PCR. And this is what John just said. So they designed a PCR. And that's why I wrote that email in our book to Simone Glenn, the head of the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. And I said, how many of these have you created? You know, and then expose the most vulnerable in our society. How many?
Yeah.
You know, and I basically said, not on my watch. We'll get them clean food. You know, you won't do it again. I said, you know, basically, I'll make this rush to public judgment a nightmare, and I'll never shut up, and I haven't.
Oh, I know. It's great.
And
let me bring
it.
You back, though. I want to ask my question
again. In 2011, we have the solution. 2011. I am well. My skin is well. My gut is well. My brain is well. Does that mean those viruses can't activate? Yeah, I got pounded on the way to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're under oxidative stress. You haven't slept for days. I'm eating garbage food. You can't get anything on a plane. You can drink except Lagunitas because it doesn't have fluoride in it. You know, you have to think about how you're feeding your immune system. You never wear a mask. You're already under oxidative stress. And we never did when I isolated these viruses. So if they're exposed to your immune system in the right way, you develop antibodies, not disease. Your infection is not your disease. We are not monkeypox. Monkeys are monkeypox. But they have monkeypox. We have chickenpox. We have smallpox. We have all of those things. Simply don't change your innate immune response.
Yeah. Let me just get a few specifics. Lagunitas is a type of water without fluoride.
It's a type of beer without fluoride.
A type of beer.
It's an IPA because IPAs modulate your IPAs are terpenes. Hops can modulate your endocannabinoid system to turn down the flame like resveratrol from red wine. You don't
so
get
natural beer. Natural beer without the chemicals is actually good for you.
Correct. And so,
this is what I'm trying to.
That are non-alcoholic.
This is to focus you in on. I want to know exactly which foods and drink now apparently are the right way to go. So if we skip the powder, we've got your website, we've got that information. But I want to know: do I eat eggs? Do I eat fish? Do I eat broccoli? I think tomatoes have too many lectins. I don't want those. What should just the regular average person? What can they do right now today to improve you've already got the big things. First of all, don't inject. That's number one. The
yes.
second one was no GMOs, okay?
Which
so,
means go to your farmer's market. I don't eat eggs
so
from
the grocery
store.
So third is farmer's market.
Any.
Okay, so yes. I'm going to my farmer's market.
I want the grower. I want the egg dirty. I want to know my farmer and not my doctor. I want clean meat and
so
fish. I want to know
pharmacists,
where it comes from.
So they're pharmacists. Pharmacists. Okay, I just made up a new word, folks.
So what I do every Saturday morning, I'll just give you the routine. I go every Saturday morning that I'm in town. I go to my same farmer's market I've gone to. I know my growers. I know where I buy my meat. I know where I buy my vegetable. And I buy my whatever I'm going to cook that week and whatever we want to eat, whatever's fresh, whatever's in season. And then I walk over to my local brewer who makes my IPAs. They make one called Foggy Brain or whatever, so that clears up my foggy brain. And then I buy my food for the week. And then the rest of the week I drink my Proline Greens, my Cardio Miracle, which are both powders. The Cardio Miracle is the amino acids and minerals you need to make nitric oxide, NO, relax the blood vessel, relax the endothelium. And then I add my Proline Greens, which have things like spirulina and chlorella, which clean, the greens, which clean. These are the things that we knew in HIV/AIDS. If you use milk thistle in your liver, silymarin, clean up your liver, keep your liver detoxing, keep your kidney functioning with appropriate minerals. And then I'll pop a capsule called SPM, Special Lipid Pro-Resolving Mediators, which are the building blocks of the fat part of your immune system, defensins, morensins. So I put all of that in a shake in the morning. I drink nothing but clean black coffee for the first 3 hours I'm awake, because caffeine is one of your best purinergic modulators. Do not decaffeinate it. So all your food has to be no chemical. I don't buy my beer from a grocery store because they put chemicals in it. I don't buy my wine from a grocery store because they put chemicals in it. So I know my growers of all my food. And you can't get resveratrol from grape juice. I alcohol extract my compounds from natural products. That's why I tell you
what's alcohol do for you. How does alcohol fit into our, because I know they have Guinness in Ireland because pregnant women take it because it's full of iron. So I know there's nutritional properties to alcohol, but the alcohol itself, that is that part of our natural process? Does that aid things?
The alcohol extracts the nutrients. Now the first thing your liver is going to do is, so it's not considered a nutrient, and we kind of changed the definition a little bit, because it's not considered a nutrient because it doesn't provide any calories, any energy. But what it does, like I use alcohol and ethanol extraction to extract from the leaves of various cannabis and hemp, the terpenes I want, the cannabinoids I want. And then I pull out the psychoactive, the heated THCA in the acidic version is not psychoactive. It's when you heat it up, it becomes THC. And it's the acidic versions of these things that are food. And so I'll extract them with a really cold ethanol, and then I'll evaporate off the ethanol. And then these are an incredibly healing juice that I drink in the morning. So alcohol metabolism is important in epigenetic changes. So you can't pound alcohol. The Bible says, doesn't say don't drink. It says don't be drunk, because then your mind gets a little too calm and you get stupid.
So a little bit of alcohol is actually incredibly beneficial. So this is what we've heard before, that a little bit of wine is good, but it has to be organic. So the alcohol actually aids the process. So if the alcohol outside that you're making these things from, it also works inside your body to extract the nutrients from the food you're eating too. So a little bit of alcohol with a meal helps then, right?
Correct. But the first thing, absolutely. But the first thing, and so what have we done? All alcohol is bad. We're all teetotalers. Well, no, I'm not. But I'm not a drunk, except when Tony Fauci really bothers me, and then I just stay home.
we'll save those stories. All right, so you mentioned proline green. You had another supplement that you mentioned that was one of the big ones, too. What was that?
SPM, Special Lipid Pro-Resolve. It's just a capsule.
So
instead
there was
of
another
oil,
one. Or was that the one, proline green and something else?
Proline green, Cardio Miracle. It's made
that
from
was the
beets.
One.
In minerals and powders. So I put that in a shaker. It's a powder. It dissolves really well, and it tastes really good. And then I take a liquid or a chewable dimethylglycine. I'll chew on those like sweet darts all day long. So I
so
keep eating
dimethylglycine.
Whenever
comes in
I get
like
a little
candy?
Too upset, I add dimethylglycine because
so
I know I need
take
to
it,
silence the.
Yeah, so you can take it as a supplement,
sweetheart.
Dimethylglycine.
It's a liquid.
It's a liquid.
Yeah, it can be in your coffee. It's a liquid. It can sweeten your coffee instead of stevia. Stevia is a great sweetener for antibacterial. So the dimethylglycine is for your virome. The bacterial food, different bacteria gobble up. They call them good bacteria, and they used to call it sterile inflammation, which is an oxymoron, just like junk food. There's no sterility in inflammation. You either turn on the food or you don't. And if you turn on the fire, And if you turn on the fire, the organism goes away from growth. So I know that Jim, and I know he's still here, will talk about failure
to
thrive.
Oh, I was
going to
get to Jim. Yeah.
Failure to thrive is what we're seeing in these kids, because insulin-like growth factor is regulated by epigenetics, a single CPG on-off and insulin in the on-off switch of insulin-like growth factor. So the organism is going to go away from using its materials to grow the body and the brain and develop while it's putting out the fire. And you can see that clinically as you see younger and younger and younger people. It's inflammation, getting right. diseases that only old people used to get, like Kaposi sarcoma. Why did that pop up in young men in Italy? Oh, it's a herpes virus associated with it, but you keep it latent by DNA methylation. And only old men in the southern tip of Italy were infected with the Kaposi sarcoma virus, which wasn't isolated and discovered until around 2000 by Patrick Moore and Yuan Chang. Oh, another Chinese. So they're isolating by viruses from the people with disease. They're understanding how it's called the war between the microbes, how one part of your immune system is turned off in order to fight another thing. You can't fight a war on three fronts. Can't go after herpes virus and a retrovirus. Can't go after Borrelia and a retrovirus. So the bacteria and the pathogens from the various classes, you know, parasites, you know, there's never been a retrovirus that doesn't carry Babesia, Borrelia, another kind of parasite, mycoplasma, mold, and in order to dysregulate an adaptive or another part of the immune response so that the virus can integrate quickly and persist, because a retrovirus has to integrate to persist. So we have to put the other poisons like glyphosate and the baculovirus in the insect cells and the other garbage. We've got the cow blood, the pig blood that we've got in those vaccines, and we've had them there all along. So these children are now seeded with these things. And as long as they keep their innate immune system. So monkeypox didn't come out of nowhere. No, you've been injecting it in every polio vaccine since the 60s. So let's not pretend. So the pox is not, the virus is not the disease. The eruption from the skin of the particles as you're trying to get rid of the poison is the disease, not the piece of sequence called pox. We are not our viruses. So no more do I want to hear, I have EBV. I have Lyme. I'm like, no, the Lyme are in my glass, honey. You know, no. You know, and we know that various alcohols will kill these things. And so but alcohol will also destroy your liver, because the first thing your liver is going to do is detox the alcohol. So if you buy your Coors Light and your Miller's Light in these products, these cheap $2 chucks at the grocery store, yeah, they loaded 300 chemicals and they never told you. That's your FDA. They dipped your eggs in chlorine, or you're not in a grocery store. So yeah, you have to refrigerate them because you've cracked the egg and you put microscopic holes in it and you picked up every kind of contaminant. So just like Robert O. Young says, yeah, Dr. Young, this is the most pathogenic thing is an egg, but that's not how God designed it. We need raw eggs in order to deliver, nutrients that aren't in cooked eggs. And so I put a raw duck egg in it. You know, because chicken eggs and the casein is in all of us, you know, who from these cows where we weaponize that first. So, you know, I'll send you the food pyramid. I tell you what I take every day. It's all on our website. And we've got pictures of these things in every talk I give. So that talk.
I must have missed on your website.
Now.
I went to your website and I saw a whole bunch of bottles and pills and powders and things like that. I guess I was looking for, you know, sort of like you're saying now, the guidance on the food pyramid and things like that before I get into the specialty items.
If you go to presentations, you'll see my lectures. So this is what I did when I met Jim in Gulf Breeze. I do a little too much of showing you the pathways, but I do that to give the doctors the confidence that I'm not selling a product. There are a lot of good products. That's why we use Get Healthy Store, because people, different developers come from different perspectives. Like I use a lot of the products from Quiksilver Scientific, and I say I, because that's how I clean up myself, and that's how practitioners need to say, well, what do I do for my patient? Well, I'll set up my own Get Healthy Store, and I'll take my experience of manufacturers that make a good club. We can't reinvent the wheel. And people can't go out like Chris did. Most people can't go out and buy a juicer and just start juicing, because where do you get the clean food? And you can get too much of a thing is too much. So you have to formulate in a way that doesn't put additional stress on an already inflamed person. So you use different forms of nitric oxide. I'll use a pill that is a nitrate if a person is so sick, or if I'm so sick that I can't use arginine and citrulline amino acids to make my own from beets, from B-E-E-T-S. If I can't use that,
hey, I love beets.
In order to make it because I'm sick, because I can't. I'm sick. I can't digest. I'm either AIDS patient thin or pathologically fat. That was the first part of my recognition. When I'm an athlete, and I was a seasoned athlete, that's why I'm still alive. And I worked in a biosafety level 3 and 4, not in the biosafety level 2, where they unintentionally released these BSL-4 reagents agents in 2009. Oh, yeah, September, a month before our paper comes out. Unintentional release of a biosafety level 2 reagent. And that's what I wrote in the email. You're kidding me. A cancer-causing virus that spread like mycoplasma, and you called it biosafety level 2? Oh, the cell line came from biosafety level 4? You're growing the stock and you're shipping it to the biosafety level 4 in China in 2015 when we told you you couldn't do that, Tony Fauci? Well, that's what I showed in the Epoch Times article of April 8th, 2020, April 8th, before our book came out, April 14th. You look at the dates of when they did these things, April 14th, when they wrote this law, September of 2019. Our book was supposed to come out in October or November of 2019, Plague of Corruption. Oh, that's when they got then-President Trump to sign the law that says we can make the universal flu vaccine. And he doesn't know. He just signed the coup of America, as David Martin told us last week. Oh, that's when Tony Fauci tricked him. Everybody says, why does this guy keep doing it? Because he signed it into law that you could change, and this is what Michael Yeadon's been showing us. Michael Yeadon, oh, now you can change any base pairs, and people are quickly trying to make laws, and you don't even have to call it a new product. You don't even, and you can make it in baculovirus, or you can make it in monkey kidney cell. We can't use cell lines anymore because you're all liable because we proved it in 2009. So we're not using cell lines. We're using synthetic viruses called COVID-19 vaccines. So we took the SARS-CoV-2 monkey virus out of the Vera monkey kidney cell. We called it a vaccine, and we injected to everybody, seeding them with the potential to develop AIDS. And all they need to do is use all this clean food. And again, I'm seeded with the potential to develop AIDS. I do not have AIDS. I do not have skin disease. I do not have Kaposi sarcoma. And I can stay healthy. Can I get that if I don't eat right when I get on these planes? If I wear a mask, that's why I refuse. I will not kill myself, Tony Fauci. You've been trying to kill me for decades, but I will not kill myself. And I'll show everybody else how if you live biblically, you've got everything you need. But you got to turn away from, I need it, I'm afraid. Stop it. You're not afraid of anything. God's given you everything, and that's all you need. And smart doctors are waking up. Not inconsequential what John just said about, you know, Bobby Kennedy in his book. You know, he shows you the corruption, and never once until the really late chapters does he ever say J.D. Mikovits, not even the acknowledgement, it's brilliant, I love it, and never does he say XMRV, and we've still got him for killing all of us. And yet, even when you add the kill switch, if you clean the blood supply, if you eat clean food, if you take advantage of all the brilliant doctors who now see it and say, oh, we can't do this, and if you get the DOJ and the FBI and the attorney generals to do the right thing and show you the hard drive we handed them in May of 2014. Oh, I got the receipt for it. We handed you the blueprint for COVID. Why don't they go arrest them? Why do they arrest me? Why do they arrest the known gold? You know, because the people that see, oh, this is simple. All we need is food. All we need is a naturopathic doctor. The MDs don't have to poison us anymore, and we don't have to eat that food. It's simple, the answers, really. So the presentations tell you the answers, and I'm working on that where my friend Dr. Tracy Strope of Get Healthy Store is trying to help me put these together in a simple way because I know what I do, but I do it instinctively because I've done it for 40 years.
Looks like I need to do a separate thing with Get Healthy Stores. And what was her name again?
Dr. Tracy Strout.
Okay. All right.
That would be fun. We can get her on a Thursday because she really explains this a lot better. She's a clinical nutritionist and a naturopathic doctor. So she called me in the beginning in 2020 and said, Judy, I can put the products to the pathways. We've got to give people simple solutions really quickly.
Well, that's what I was looking
for. And so many other, like Dr. Janice Schmidt, has got some really great, her expertise is bees and honey and all the nutrients. So you've got experts in Dr. Jana and Dr. Stella Emanuel and Dr. Zev Zelenko with his formulations. So as we all get together and pull all of these things into stores, giving the practitioners the tools they need and giving the people the ability to buy, you know, food, you know, they're weaponizing food. They're not supplements. They're food. You know, they're vitamins. They're vital to life. And our vitamins, our food, you know, the RDA, the recommended daily allowance, hasn't changed since the 60s. Oh, because they know these are nutritional deficiencies. You know, cancer is a nutritional deficiency, just like Linus Pauling said. Now we're reinventing the wheel, and I can show you Stephen Balin at Johns Hopkins. Oh, a little vitamin C. People are vitamin C and vitamin D deficient, and they get more cancer. Yeah, they do. Come on.
Interesting. Let me ask a couple of quick questions, then I want to turn it over to Jim and John, who have been incredibly patient through this whole thing. And you've been just brilliant, Judy. This is great. So it seems like it doesn't matter specific which organic clean foods you eat. As long as you eat organic clean food and get a mixture, it's more important that it's organic and clean rather than say, I need so many eggs, I need so much fish, I need so much broccoli, I mean, things like that. So is that the point that the clean food itself will have a mixed diet, will have enough of the amino acids to allow you to boost your immune system? Am I pretty accurate on that? Or are there certain specific things that are just much more helpful? Go ahead.
Nope. Absolutely. You've got to mix it up. God gave us everything for food. Humans, plants, animals, the plant species. Mushrooms make the best antifungal because a reishi mushroom doesn't want to be a shiitake mushroom. So it zeroes in on that part that makes it unique. So everything's for food.
So, all right. So that's good to know. So we need to start moving away from talking about the problems because we've documented them unbelievably. I want to start moving into solutions. And so the more that we can do in nutrition, the more we can boost these kind of things, I think it's going to be fabulous. In fact, I bet you have a diet for Jim that he can use with his folks. The last question I want to ask is if we can get our vaccine product liability out in the public in the mass debates, if all of you at every conference, and I've been texting Brian the same thing for his conference, if we can get this out there and all the people we talk to, and this becomes a major issue, especially before the midterms, all these folks are going to go crazy. The Dr. Fascists, all the criminals, the death doctors, that whole death industry is going to go nuts, which is going to be fabulous for us. How much impact do you think that would really have? Say we get this out there, not even passed, but just into the debate of vaccine liability, product liability bill. What's that going to do?
Oh, I think it makes a huge impact. Steve Kirsch just put out a thing where I just heard this morning. $5 billion in vaccine court. Nobody even knew it existed. 1986, the act. So, you know, now everybody's saying, oh, wait a minute. These things aren't rare. And this is how Narayan Nath, the guy in charge of this. And we wrote that in our book. I have it in slideshows on our website that shows you in June of 2019. Oh, the New York Times come out and said, oh, no, wait a minute, everybody. These are rare. These are rare. And our ACIP, our Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, kill that now. They're weaponizing. They're sitting there in military uniform, sniffing us out like dogs. Dogs can sniff out cancer, folks, because they know the molecules, you know.
The immune liability, the reason they got rid of liability is not as is commonly suspected, because they needed that to be able to produce, you know, all kinds of vaccines. They really needed the immunity to hide their bioweapons work. Their destruction, all the things they're putting together, these multiple binary system vaccine combinations that were going to kill people. That's why they really needed the immunity from liability, right?
Correct. It's immunity for them. And now this is the big deal why we have to call it an emergency. Because all of those drugs they're putting out there are untested and untried and just to kill you and kill you with another weapon. This is why I'm trying to talk to doctors like Malone and people, no, don't hand them Paxlovid. It's loaded with fluoride. It's intended to kill them. You know, come on. I want to see every ingredient in every drug, in every food, and then I get to decide what I take. Your doctor gets to decide what works with your systems with your genetics and epigenetics, susceptibilities. Your doctor, medicine goes all the way back to the practitioner. No more health insurance. We're done with that. I was always done with it. I never did it. My mom said when I was a kid, you don't need that. Take care of yourself. What are you insuring yourself for? You got God. You know, I love my mom. She was tough,
that sounds great. All right. This wouldn't be a bad place to take a break unless Jim or John has a quick question. But what I want to do is turn the show over to Jim and John because you guys have been really patient. Does that make sense? Do you want to do that? You want to take a break now and then I'll let you two talk to Judy and ask all the questions you want because this whole nutritional frontiers, I think that should be our frontier. Jim,
yeah.
John, comment? Where you guys want to just take a break then? All right.
Yeah.
Let's do that. All right. So I'm going to mute all your lines. We'll be back. I'll play some Santa Rosa Volunteers, some other things. We have three affiliates. We're now an affiliate of MyPillow. So we're making connections. I'm going to get Mike Lindell on this panel. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to get him on this panel. But we get up to 66% discounts. We have Grace Care. We have 10% discounts there. We have Strike Force Energy Drinks, 20% discount there. It's all the same code, WYL, which stands for Write Your Laws. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to play some fun stuff here. Take a break. You can make all the noise you want. Everybody else listen intently because this is good stuff. And I'll be back in a little bit. Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com. From addiction to achievement, that is the story of Mike Lindell. It started with MyPillow and now goes to MyCoffee. Action Radio is proud to be an affiliate of MyPillow. Our discount code is the same for all our product affiliates, WYL, which stands for Write Your Laws. MyPillow pillows are guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Action Radio is guaranteed to be the most controversial show you will ever hear. Check out their products with our discount code at MyPillow.com/WYL. That's MyPillow.com/WYL. Or order now by calling 1-800-544-8939. That's 1-800-544-8939. Sleep well so you can wake up and hear Action Radio live. Do you know your way around healthcare, insurance, pharmacies, surgery? Alternative treatments and choices? I don't. Which is why I'm so glad I met Priscilla Romans, had her on Action Radio, and learned about health patient advocacy. She is the founder of Great Care. And now as an affiliate of Great Care, we are proud to offer through our discount code, WYL, which stands for Write Your Laws, a 10% discount. Great Care saves you both time and money. They provide medical advocacy, consultation, advice, and recommendations nationwide. Their website is GraithCare.com. That's GRAITHCare.com. You can email them at GraithCare.ADM@gmail.com or call them at 469-864-7149. That's 469-864-7149. Great Care, better health through better knowledge and advocacy. This is Greg Penglis for Strike Force, your source for pure energy. Strike Force is a concentrated energy drink that turns a half liter of your favorite beverage into an energy drink. You make your energy drink yourself. Action Radio is an affiliate of Strike Force, so our listeners get a 20% discount. All you do is add our code, WYL, to the discount code window at checkout, W-I-L, comes from our website, Write Your Laws. So, you can get your energy drink, a 20% discount, and help Action Radio change the relationship of we the people to our government. Not bad. Strikeforce is at strikeforceenergy.com. That's strikeforceenergy.com. Start your engines. This is Greg Penglis with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. For our first founding lesson, I want to start with the Declaration of Independence. Basic to any understanding of freedom and liberty are these words written by Thomas Jefferson. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You will notice there is no reference to race, color, age, nationality, ethnic group, religion, or any of the common leftist categories they use to divide us. David Azarad, in his article for the Heritage Foundation, titled What the Constitution Really Says About Race and Slavery, December 28, 2015, says that no such concepts as race exist in the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, or any founding document. Therefore, since our founding documents have no such concept as race, it's kind of stupid of the left to say that we are founded on racism. The truth, folks, is that they simply made it up to suit their agenda of national sabotage and destruction, so that you would learn to hate your country. We hold these truths to be self-evident. No case need be made. It's plainly obvious. All men, meaning all people, are created equal. Granted, your status once you've come into the world is different from everyone else's because we all have different backgrounds, families, cultures, wealth, education, etc. We have differences, vast differences, but we are created equal. The whole concept of liberty, freedom, and rights are all dependent on keeping God above government. When governments believe they are gods, they will dispense rights as they see fit. When people believe they are gods, they will feel entitled to everything you have. True freedom comes only from the understanding and maintenance in government through control by the people that our rights are unalienable, that they cannot be separated from us, ever, because they came from a power higher than government. That we the people, also being a higher power, realize and maintain control over government because all just powers of government come from the consent of the governed. How we give our consent is why I created Action Radio. I'll be back next week with another edition of Founding Moments, sponsored by the Santa Rosa Volunteers. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio. You've all heard those ads for people who have suffered medical or health tragedies, which say you may be entitled to compensation. But if you have suffered injuries or crippling diseases or medical procedures that went horribly wrong, it's not the compensation you need, it's the knowledge you should have had before the condition you suffer from now. So that you are never in that position in the future, I strongly recommend that you do not get any COVID vaccines. Get informed. Do your own research. For 99.97% of Americans, your natural immunity will give you, at worst, only moderate symptoms of COVID. If you've already had COVID, it's virtually impossible to get it again. There are effective cures for COVID, which will get you completely over the virus. There is no cure for the COVID-19 vaccines. Once you start down the road of DNA modification, there is no going back. Action Radio, part of the ADHD Radio Network, the ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed, and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask,
to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio.
Yeah, when you hear the surf music, you know it's time to come back and get this show going, especially as this is a turning point. This is our third month. This is our 12th week, and so we're going to advance from documenting the problems, as everybody else does. We're, you know, sort of raising complaining to an art form, and now we're going to get into the cures and the preventions and the treatments, and we're going to go into nutritional frontiers. I think I said that's a perfect title for that. So let's make everybody live. Oh, I've been texting Dr. Brian Artis during our break there, and I was telling him that we're trying to bring Judy out of her shell. She's been really quiet. We're trying to inspire her to be just a little more descriptive and vocal, you know, and take part in the show more. Okay, that's a joke, guys.
Shy. She's so shy.
From your last commercial, Greg.
Yes.
You got to change that. There is going back. We just have to stop. You said once you start down the road, there's no going back. There is going back. Stop now. Turn
okay,
back
we'll
to
make a,
Jesus.
We'll make a correction.
And repent. There is going back, but you have to stop now.
Great. I've got to put a disclaimer on my promo. This is excellent. All right, good. Thanks, Judy. More homework. No, listen, I appreciate it. No, that's the, and the other thing, too, is with my PSA, I wonder if I'm completely accurate saying that you know, once you get it, COVID, you can't get it again. Apparently, you can. But I made that like a year and a half ago. So, you know, in the that's
only
okay.
If you injected it. Only if you injected it.
So that's still accurate.
If you
then,
get
that's
it
good.
According to God, if you injected the disease, which was called the vaccine, the disease-causing entity, you'll get it again because you've crippled your immune system. So, but if you stop, you'll be okay and do what we're talking about, the solutions.
Yeah. This is such a groundbreaking show today. I'm going to have to put a bunch of notes on it. Jim Thorpe, you've been amazingly patient, and unless you've been, you know, healing patients in the meantime or something else you've been doing. But let's get you back in. Anything for Judy? Judy's pretty much got this the whole program that we're going to be starting on now. And I think Nutritional Frontiers is such a great conference. I'm going to look into that. But that's really the where we should be going. Jim, do you want to get is there a program for your folks that can be tailored specifically for pregnant mothers, for example? I don't know. Wherever you want to go, feel free. Ask Judy a question. Put a new comment. Whatever's on your mind. If you're there, Jim Thorpe.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Dr. Judy. Thank you, John. Great listening to you guys. I'm learning tons of information. Judy, as you know, in my area of high-risk obstetrics and the viral world, we as a global community were warned and became hysterical about the vaccines in the past, especially the Zika vaccine, which seemed to be reported with a predilection of severe inhibition damage to the developing fetal brain with microcephaly and other concerns that seemed to emanate from third world countries, but we had people here infected in the United States of America with adverse outcomes. I would really like your actually both you you know, maybe John first, if you could talk about that from your data acquisition dashboard. I'm certain that these viruses were not cultured. They were diagnosed by PCR. I do know that. I want to say it emerged sometime between 2015 and 2018. Help me out and help me better understand the etiology of this. Take it away, John.
All right. Well, let me make sure I understand the question. So in 2015 through 18, in that time frame, what happened with the virus now that I can dig into? Let me make sure I understand this.
So there's were outbreaks of the Zika virus all over the world, allegedly,
right.
And they were
right.
Associated with very high-risk adverse outcomes of the virus interrupting fetal brain growth inside the womb prior to pregnancy.
And skull size also, right? We saw babies being born with microcephaly. Is that what it's called?
Correct. And, of course, the microcephaly was only not from the skull, but from the inhibition of brain growth.
Mm. All right. So let me go ahead, John.
I didn't study the data. Yeah, I didn't study data on Zika. In fact, kind of threading it all together for me hasn't happened until, you know, I met and started talking with Dr. Judy. You know, I have three daughters and, you know, my older adult daughters, you know, they got Gardasil and all that. So I was hook, line, and sinker until I met Dr. Judy and she started explaining how they grow this stuff in the body parts of other animals. And it's not, you know, there's no pasteurization process for monkey kidneys. It doesn't, you know, they don't sterilize the monkey kidney before they grow stuff in it or stuff wouldn't grow in it. So when you start to become aware of this XMRV stuff, that's when, you know, my whole perspective changed on this, obviously a little bit too late. But I never even thought about Zika. I never gave it a second thought, to be honest with you. And I only really got into this whole epidemiology world and looking into this stuff when this COVID outbreak began. And I got pulled into it because of the map. But prior to that, I had zero awareness of this world, to be quite honest with you.
That's why it's so fascinating to get you folks together. I'm going to jump in for a second because we have Patrick Wood of Technocracy on the line, too. I asked him if he wanted to drop in and talk more about something he wants to work with me on, Citizens for Free Speech. So, John or Jim, do you have another follow-up for what Judy was saying, or can you hold off on that for a little bit, and we'll talk to Patrick for a bit, and we can come back to it? Sound good?
Yeah, right. Let's talk to Patrick.
Let's talk to Patrick. All right. So anyway, so Patrick, just to give you a quick summary, if you want to go back and listen to the beginning of the show, you know, when we get a podcast, we've discovered something I think absolutely revolutionary, that the way they program computers with the binary codes of ones and zeros is the same way that they've been programming viruses to turn them on and off with ones and zeros. And the connection is unbelievable and direct. And it's the same thing. It's the same process. It's just one's, you know, biological and the other is technological. Have you seen that? Did you know that already? Is this something new? Do you know what we're talking about? How does that strike you? The sort of biomedical, physical, technological mixing. And is that something that Technocracy planned on all along? How's that for a question?
Yeah, that's a big question.
I don't ask little questions.
I don't have any deep scientific insight into that. However, from everything that I've written about the intention to manipulate human genomes, that is implied. That you know, the difference between the actual gene and then the expression of the gene are two different things. So a gene can sit, as I understand it. I know my understanding is very limited. But as a gene can sit there and do nothing, when it is triggered in a certain way, it begins to express itself and to cause outward effects and stuff. And I think that's been applied. If somebody could prove that and demonstrate it to us civilians, it would be great.
Is that why they call computer problems viruses? Because they're the same on-off switch binary code? I mean, was there a reason that they picked virus as a term?
I
don't think so. Well, you know, you go back to Bill Gates was the one that that caused the whole platform for viruses to be there, right? So
I didn't know that.
Mr. Virus himself. Well, there was no concept of virus before Microsoft Windows. That was where the whole thing really started.
Wait a minute.
Why?
So the same guy that's created or has a lot to do with the bioweapons, the depopulation, created viruses, you know, possibly helped fund, you know, our little bioweapon, COVID, the whole vaccine thing, is the same guy that's creating computer viruses?
Well, And yeah, let me re-explain that a tad.
Okay.
He created Microsoft Windows. That was his company, Microsoft, and of course Microsoft made Windows. It started back in the DOS, DOS era, disk operating system, before Windows, and there were vulnerabilities left open inside the operating system that made it possible for all the black hackers out there to penetrate the Windows operating system and do stuff to it, bad stuff. And
that was intentional?
That's why just about every – well, I wouldn't say it was intentional necessarily, but you have to ask the question, were those programmers at Microsoft so stupid that they couldn't secure their own software? I mean, you know, Apple, for instance, the iOS and, you know, the Apple operating systems, they've been virtually impervious to viruses, and everybody kind of knows that. You don't really need to run virus prevention software on a Mac. I do, actually, but I've never had any trouble. I've never really heard of anybody having trouble. But Microsoft Windows is just pure hell and always has been. It's sloppy programming at the very least, and, you know, there might have been some other agenda to it. I don't know, but in my opinion, Microsoft was sloppy from the get-go, and their product was just horrible. Probably should never have even entered the market.
Huh? What
but
was
now
that, John?
Bill Gates is in the.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, keep going.
Well, because now that he's in the you know, the world of medicine and stuff, you know, he talks about this kind of with the same language. You know, like the virus is something that comes in from the outside, messes with the code, and things go bad. That's it.
But I just, the parallels just struck me as we're talking. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, this, these connections, just we've been making connections all day. It's just been fascinating. John, can you add to this? what Patrick's talking about?
Sure. I was in the industry when Microsoft Windows was launched, and that's when I, you know, I had dinner with Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer. I'm trying to remember. I think it was 1986.
Oh, you didn't tell us that. Now we find out.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Go ahead. No,
yeah,
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Larry
talked
Ellison
about
too?
It on my podcast.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Yeah, I've had dinner with Larry a couple of times. Yeah, Larry signed my offer letter when I went to work at Oracle. It wasn't that big a company when I went there. When I joined Oracle, they were doing less than $200 million a year in revenue. It was a smaller company than the company that I joined from. So I was going, to me, it was like going to a startup when I joined Oracle.
Hmm.
But back to Microsoft, in the early days of Windows, Windows was kind of a reconfigured version of something called CPM. And I had been selling systems based on CPM. And CPM was a different operating system that Microsoft basically kind of took all these commands and just replicated it and called it DOS and sold it to IBM to use on their PC. And then Windows came along a little bit later. So before Windows, there was DOS. And the fact that they built Windows on top of DOS, and that DOS was built as kind of a replicant of CPM, it was kind of a house of cards. And Windows was the response to the launch of the Mac in 1984, the Monday after the Super Bowl, right? You had the Super Bowl ad on Sunday, and then Monday they were available in stores. And that's when Microsoft got to work on Windows to compete with the Mac. So that was the 1984, 1985, and then 1986 is when I met Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer, had dinner with them. And kind of the creepy, scary part is I had dinner at Windows on the World, which no longer exists, at the top of the World Trade Center. So that's
oh,
where I had dinner.
I wonder what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually stood on top of the World Trade Center in high school. I saw where Philip Petit had signed his name when he crossed over there. And, yeah, it was interesting to
right.
Be – yeah, exactly. Patrick, do you want to respond to that, or do you want to get into what you wanted to talk about, or what would you like to?
Well, no, I think that's probably there's probably some parallels just to
okay.
help understand what's going on. Viruses come from the outside; they get into the code, they readjust the code, and then bad things happen. That's about the bottom line. That's about
right.
what's happened with you know, with COVID and other viruses, goes back a long ways, as Judy explains. But, you know,
same pattern,
the same concept.
Same playbook, different technology.
Yeah.
You know, it's fascinating.
Yeah. So, maybe Gates got the tip from all the people that tried to destroy Windows. And he said, hey, this is a great idea. I think I'll be one of those that starts, you know, instead of writing hacking software for my own operating system, I'll go out and write it for everybody in the world.
Let me ask you this, Patrick. We were talking earlier before you joined us about CRISPR technology. And one of the things I wanted to ask you and Judy is, you know, when we look at the mRNA concept, the mRNA technology that I guess Dr. Malone originally documented, this ability to send the messenger RNA through the cell wall so that the ribosome will create these RNA strands is different from the Cas9 CRISPR process, which Dr. Judy was talking about earlier, which literally is like making a snip in the DNA strand and giving you the ability to insert a certain sequence. And so it's like, second baseman and shortstop. One of them does one thing, one of them does the other thing. They're kind of similar. And we haven't really been talking a whole lot about CRISPR-based modification in humans yet, but I'm afraid we're it's on the doorstep, and that mRNA was just the introduction, and the next step is going to be CRISPR-based treatments. What are your thoughts on that?
You're close, but wrong, because what Malone did was he packaged it. So he packaged, and they have the sequences, the CRISPR-Cas sequences in the mRNA that does the cutting and the pasting. But what Robert Malone had to do was make a lipid bilayer, a synthetic virus, to package the RNA in, so that so CRISPR and prophages, bacteriophages are things that have to inject themselves. So they have an injection on them, and I'm sending you a paper that I'm really strange.
You mean like,
like
the T4, like the T4, T6 phage, those macrophages, they look like they're aliens. I've seen them. They're crazy.
Well, the T4 bacteriophages. So this paper I'm sending you is called Immunity Evolution. So it's basically showing you how to poke holes through certain protective things like cell membranes. So Malone discovered synthesized a virus-like particle, a phospholipid bilayer, to package up the CRISPR-Cas technology and allow it to inject itself into the cell.
So what you're saying is you could
cell
use
membrane.
Let me test my understanding of what you're saying. So Dr. Malone is the guy who came up with, to me, it looks like a clamshell. It almost looks like a shark egg.
Correct.
Package.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a hinge. And so it can open once it's inside the cell. And this package, my understanding, I'm testing my understanding with you and Patrick as well. My understanding is we were packaging influenza vaccines inside of inert coronaviruses. And that's how we used to get the influenza stuff, the package, inside the cell, was we put the influenza stuff inside an inert coronavirus. And what Malone did was said, why are we using inert coronaviruses? I'll build you a little thing that's like a clamshell, and that will get through the cell wall. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, and so we weren't building into the coronaviruses. So the coronaviruses make an envelope, you know, package themselves and,
right.
and express through an envelope. So you're exactly right. The clamshell protects, but that clamshell has to interact with your cell membrane and be endocytosed.
Right.
That the cell says, oh, yeah, that's okay. I'll take that in. That's inert. And then I'll open up and release the genetic material so that now in the cytoplasms, my ribosomes, my siRNA, all my regulatory RNA then, you know, works on that as if, you know, it's an invading virus. And again, the sequences of that virus by putting in things like purine cleavage sites and interferon transmembrane protein domains that would keep the sensors on the cell surface, your lipid bilayer, to say it's okay. Yeah, you can come in here. Because normally you would say, don't come in here. Yeah.
All right, let's separate Malone's delivery mechanism, this lipid clamshell thing with the hinge. Let's separate that from what's going inside that delivery mechanism. All right,
So
today we're delivering mRNA, messenger RNA, which a ribosome sees, reads, decodes it, and then produces RNA, correct? That's what ribosomes do. They read an mRNA and they produce RNA. Is that right?
Correct. So they produce protein out of it or peptide. So they take
they produce the protein.
Translate it into a protein, or they translate it in, or they go untranslated. When they go untranslated, they're regulatory. So they're putting into this package, this clamshell that Malone designed, they're putting in the genome of a phage, and a phage literally pokes its hole through things. So you get the prophages resistance to a phage infection. Yeah, so
right,
let me test my understanding again.
And then
you've got the CRISPR RNA. Okay.
All right, so I want to test my understanding, again, for me and for the audience. the instructions that we're putting inside this package, so we're talking about the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine. These are the messenger RNA vaccines, not the adenovirus ones from J&J and the other guys. So for these vaccines, what they're putting inside is the messenger RNA. The ribosome then makes a protein. The protein is the spike protein from generation one SARS-CoV-2, not gamma, beta, omicron, lambda, none of these downstream. We're talking about the spike protein from the first iteration that we were given the sequence from China. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And we make those little spike proteins, which are the little sticky hairs with the furin cleavage site with the GP120 on them. Now, that's
and with the XMRE
different.
On them. With the
sure. Oh, them. Yeah. Yeah, and the trimethamine. Remember, some have trimethamine, some don't. All right. So, but that's a different delivery package than this Cas9. CRISPR-Cas9 is viruses acting on bacteria, like the bacteriophages, the T6, the T7s, the T4s. So to me, this is a little bit different than the mRNA to the ribosome. mRNA tells the ribosome what to do, but CRISPR-Cas9 just cuts the DNA, and then inserts something where it cut it. I mean, that's different from just making new proteins from your ribosome. Can you explain to people the difference here? Because this is significant.
Correct. So most of our RNA, so they put CRISPR RNA in that would do the cutting and the insertion. That's what a retrovirus does. It does cutting and insertion. So you cut it, the integrase gene of a retrovirus does this, but this is all the way back in bacterial genomes, prokaryotes, that you have CRISPR in eukaryotes. You know, cells with humans with membranes. So you've got a package in a way that you can inject through these fangs. And I just sent you an article called Immunity Evolution from 2000 and 19 in January. And it literally shows you pictures of the RNA world, prokaryotes and eukaryotes, you know, the DNA world and how those things that are packaged in the clamshell have to work. Because CRISPR doesn't need a clamshell. It's got a little bacteriophage that looks like a little weapon you poke in there. So they put in the sequences of this synthetic. Now it's no longer the monkey virus, SARS-CoV-2. They've got a synthetic one, and they're cutting and pasting specifically because retroviruses don't do specific integrations. And, in fact, the reason why XMRV is such a problem is it inserts into CpG islands. Oops, then you're going to mess up your methylation downstream wherever it inserted. So these guys are going to do it specifically to change a base pair or two. So now the virus going out of the human being you injected with this is going to be clipping and changing base pairs and creating in the human new variants. Oh, we didn't inject that one. And so what are you going to do with each successive booster? You're going to add ability to recombine because the innate immune system gets further and further crippled. So first you take out type 1 interferon, then you take out vitamin D, and then you make it so antibodies can't be produced from plasmacytoid dendritic cells because they get integrated with the bad one and they no longer make interferon. So this, it's so diabolical that when I explained it, I mean, when you start realizing that, I mean, they've done this over 40 years and experimented and showed the proof of their experiments in vaccine court and then lied and lied and lied until now they've got everybody. And where your commercial said, Greg, you know, it's over if you did this. And I actually saw a Robert Malone did a little video, and my team said, do we tweet this? And I said, no, because it said, if you got those injections, you're screwed. And that's not true. That's not how I talk, number one. I'm a Christian, unless I'm talking to you. But you're not screwed. But you've got to stop injecting these things, and you've got to strengthen your immune system, your cell membranes, all the things we were just talking about, to make sure those things can't get in and that your macrophages, your little Pac-Men that surround every single organ system can go gobble, 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 and you keep those guys as strong as they can, and we got this. And then you never do it again. And it takes quite a lot. HIV does not integrate preferentially. Syncytin, XMRVs do integrate preferentially into those critical epigenetic silencing domains. That's why the furin cleavage sites. That's why you need that CCG. And the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, right around this time and right just last year, approved a CPG oligonucleotide adjuvant. And I can show you how to put those together to enhance infection or stop infection. They literally put it in the adjuvants now. So that's why they have to booster, booster, booster. They have to booster the kill in the population they intend. And they already know how they crippled your immune system with the various ones. So that's exactly right. They pieced together, taking all they knew from the RNA world, which is prokaryotes and eukaryotes, in our systems, 97% of our messenger RNA is never translated into protein. It's regulatory to stop all of this from hurting you. 97% protecting 3%. That's what we are now, the 3% protecting the 97% if we can wake them up. So all they have to do is realize they don't have to understand the biochemistry. That's why my job is as a PhD, I teach doctors, and I do have trouble translating that into simple language because the doctors don't know this. They were deliberately miseducated, and that's why I get frustrated when Dr. McCullough and Malone or any of the others, any doctor who won't prescribe Suramin or Ivermectin, don't realize they're purinergic modulators, that they change the base pairs of your DNA, that they turn it away, their helicases. They turn the RNA away from the poison. They change the shape so it's not accessible the pseudouridine in the shot is the pairing partner in the messenger RNA world of cytidine, of the methylatable, the regulatory, the virus sensor on your cells, the ATP and the GPP sense on the cells, G proteins, and danger signals sense other types of poisons, like when you have energy outside the cell, it's a danger signal. So that'll sense a chemical poisoning, and G proteins will sense other kinds of bacterial, fungal, and other kinds of parasitic poisons interfering with the sensors on the surface of the cell. So you see, they understood with the pseudouridine how to put that in there to dysregulate the base pairing, the binding, the hydrogen bonds that hold the DNA in the shape, and messenger RNA has shape. And this is what I've done my whole life, is just, you know, look at how those are intended to evade the immune system and say, not on my watch. Here's how you strengthen it. I don't care the cause. I care the cure. Always did, and that's why HIV never caused AIDS after my PhD thesis.
Fascinating. I'm glad to be wrong. Thank you. I'll take that off, or I'll fix it and make a new one. We've got about half an hour left, and I want to talk to Patrick about Citizens for Free Speech. And one of the things we sort of touched on that Judy really is all the way behind is our bill to get rid of, or actually to put, you know, full product liability back on vaccine makers to get rid of their immunity. And the more I'm listening to this show, the more I'm realizing the implications of that are huge. And so if you in the center can get involved with that, or make it very clear what is going on here, someone's got some background noise. You might want to mute yourself if you're not chatting away here. That'll just help us out with the quality of the production here. Patrick, do you want to get into that at all, or did you have something else you want to talk about? But that's
nope.
My big thing being legislation.
I think I still think that free speech and the exercise of free speech is the only significant pushback that we have right now against this entire thing. So on multiple levels, I realize. The medical issue is just one part of it. You know, you've got the whole climate change mantra. You've got the whole United Nations narrative. You've got the World Economic Forum's narrative. Everywhere, free speech is being suppressed and being, well, you know, look what happened this week with the raid on Mar-a-Lago. Whether there's anything substantive there or not is immaterial, but the message this sends out, in fact, I think I counted something like 5 or 6 FBI SWAT operations on individuals where it would turn out to be an absolute nothing burger. It's just intimidation of people to get the other activists around them to shut up. And, you know, we have this increasing weaponization against free speech, and this is a trend that is unmistakable. Nobody can deny that this is happening. The question is, why? Is it just incidental? Is it just unintended consequences, or is it intentional? And I will just flat out say it is intentional. It's as intentional as what you are discussing in the medical world and the you know, the viruses and vaccines and quote unquote. It's just as intentional. These scientists didn't just make a mistake in the lab one day when they, you know, looked away to take a sip of coffee. Something happened in their test tube. Oh, gee, sorry about that.
How that happened?
They knew exactly. Yeah, they knew exactly what was happening, what they were doing, and there was no there was no accidental creation of some virus or some you know, vaccine that had bad effects. So the free speech thing right now. The risk in losing free speech is when a group of people lose the ability to cry out and say, I'm being damaged over here, help, help, they're trying to kill me or something, you know, come help me, save me sort of thing. When that ability is lost, that's when the killing begins. And we see this historically through every revolution that we've seen in the last 120 years, whether it be in you know, Russia, Germany, Cambodia, sub-Saharan Africa, where, you know, the rebels took over back in the 70s and 80s. The first thing they did, they went out and they killed all the They killed all the people that were running newspapers and TVs. They took them, or radio stations. They took them over, turned them into propaganda organs. And nobody had the ability to sound alarm, especially to the outside world. But even if they couldn't do it internally, much less to the outside world, so nobody came to help them. That's exactly what happened, by the way, in Cambodia when people died in the killing fields. There was no press, no media coming out of Cambodia where the people were crying out, and they were crying out. It's just the message never got anywhere. So we deal with this issue of free speech today. I do, as the most critical and important feature of our constitutional republic to keep alive. And actually, free speech is not just something to do with the constitutional republic. I have found, as I speak to people all over the world, free speech is in the heart of every man and woman in the world. And I think that's why our founders called it an unalienable right, you know, granted by God, not by man. But I see this in people's comments and stuff from all over the world. Free speech is something that's just understood by everyone. But tyrants want to suppress it so they can get away with their sinful schemes. And this is what's going on today. This whole business of not only censorship and the overt media like social media, newspapers, and so on. There's that kind of censorship when the FBI is involved, where they swat people and intimidate them to be quiet. And all the weak followers fall away very quickly from the person that's been swatted like that. But then it goes deeper. You have companies, financial companies like Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, to some minor extent even Stripe, and other institutional type of companies are censoring people. Cutting them off at the kneecaps, and so there's a plethora of attacks on free speech all at the same time. This is not, in my opinion, this is not incidental. So when I created Citizens for Free Speech in 2018, I had no idea it was going to get to where it is today. I knew it was bad because I saw collusion between Facebook and Twitter. That was the first thing that got me excited. Somebody was dumped on Facebook one day, the next day they were dumped on Twitter. It was just that simple. I said, I know, okay, there's collusion there. It's obvious. They have some way to communicate a blacklist back and forth. Whether it's just kind of casual or formal, it doesn't matter. But that's what was happening.
I figured it out, Patrick.
Yeah.
I figured that out. So there's a secret little link. I think I figured it out. So I'm about 80% positive. Because I'm pretty heavily suppressed or shadow banned, whatever they call it, at YouTube and Twitter.
If I think we all are suppressed share, somewhere. We're all suppressed. Yeah. This is good, like the suppression group right here. It's amazing. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
So if you try and share one of my videos from my YouTube channel, and you go to the share thing and you copy the link, in the link to the video, you're undoubtedly going to find the letter Q if that video was made in the last 2 years. And that letter Q seems to be the common notification between Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube that this is questionable content. And
not
so
QAnon?
If you go to share any...
It's not QAnon.
Exactly. Right. No. Meaning that's what they're suggesting is that these are conspiracy people. Right. Now I don't dabble in that. I don't look at that at all. I do this. So, but that's their way of suggesting that this content is what they consider questionable. So when you go to share one of my tweets or you go to share one of my videos from YouTube, undoubtedly you see a big, and oftentimes it's a capital Q, and it's one of the last three or four characters in the link. And it's happening so often that it can't just be a coincidence. So that's how they do it. If the link has the letter Q in it, it's going to get shadow banned or downplayed.
I'll definitely keep my ears and eyes open for that, because I'm out and about on the internet a lot, but I would be watching out for sure. But there is some mechanism. Whether that exactly is it or not, it's still there somehow. And maintaining free speech now, that's the central theme of Citizens for Free Speech. I did a survey of all the organizations in the country to talk about free speech, and there's a few. Some are good. There's a couple of ones that do litigation, but that's all they do, and that's totally valuable. Leslie Manoukian is one that has done some great legislation relating to free speech. But the problem with all the what we need, the problem with all the other organizations, if there is a problem, is that they don't drive people to action to become practitioners of free speech. And so we set out with Citizens for Free Speech to provide training for people because people were unequipped to speak in a civic environment, even in some cases a personal environment where, you know, they've lost relationships with children and stuff over COVID. They have no idea how to get back and reestablish communication. Well, the training we provided is called the Citizen Ninja Way. Brings people up to speed very quickly on how to be a statesman right where they live and to get policies changed and to be persuasive in civic environments and, you know, whether it be school boards or city councils or whatever, to put a firewall around their own town where they live or their own community to block this garbage from coming in. And there's lots of things that citizens have in their power to do if they would but do it. And so we've discovered there's just so many different ways that citizens can take personal responsibility for what's going on. Instead of looking to somebody else all the time to fix it, they can do a lot of things to fix it right where they sit. So that's what eventually has ended up distinguishing Citizens for Free Speech for anyone else, is that we're just hotly intending to train as many people as we can to be effective in their own community and just to, you know, that's a stigmat, raise heck, but you know what I mean, right?
Well, you know what I want to do, right? Patrick, you know where I want to go with this is to have a unit on citizen legislation. You know, if it's as simple as sharing a bill link with Congress and the media, but if people want to actually continue on and start talking about these bills and learning about bills and learning about the process of citizen legislation and learning there's no reason why anybody can't supply bills to Congress. If lobbyists can do it, we can do it. You know, people think if you're not a lawyer, if you're not somehow an official of some way, you can't write legislation. And I went over an article last week that nobody in Congress is writing legislation. Action Radio writes more legislation than the entire U.S. Congress right now.
And that's a good thing. One of the people on our board of advisors, her name is Mindy Patterson. She runs an animal rights organization called the Calvary Group. Mm-hmm. It's not what you think probably when I say animal rights, but she's an advocate for farmers and ranchers where their animals have been attacked by, you know, organizations like PETA and just legislation, actually, you know, where they have gotten legislation in that harms the farmers and the ranchers and their property rights and stuff that they have. And her organization has successfully introduced and had legislation passed in, I think, 31 or 2 states that have reversed the damage done by, you know, with these other so-called animal rights organizations. So they just, you know, they tried to just invoke havoc on ranchers and farmers, and actually anybody with animals, but in particular ranchers and farmers. And they've been tremendously effective. It's a low-key organization in one sense, but they've cracked it. They figured out how to do it. And
how they do it?
That's what you're saying.
Is it? Did they get the farmers together in groups? Did they just get a lot of people to, you know, talk about this? How did they do it?
Well, that was part of it. But you know, as a kind of a nonprofit organization that, kind of like ours in a way, where the members talk with them. They have functions, they have meetings and stuff like that. They talk with them. And they do get a general consensus on what needs to be done, but it's the Calvary Group themselves who are actually generating legislation. And I have to say, in concert with, you know, the will and desire of the membership. but it was not that difficult to do. It's just that they took after it, and they were consistent, and they persisted, and they went around and had a bunch of meetings and stuff with states all over the country, persuaded people in the assemblies and the senates to introduce legislation. And lo and behold, it got support behind it, got passed. Now, I could be interested in state legislation to some extent. I'm more interested in local legislation because that's where the policies begin.
Mm-hmm.
But the same principle holds there. You know, city councils have, they call them resolutions. They don't call them statutes necessarily. But anybody can write that stuff, anybody. And just getting a sponsor is probably the harder thing, just finding somebody to say, yeah, I like that, I'll do that. But that's a perfect example of something that citizens can do. We've got another track right now on citizen journalism, how to be a citizen journalist. We've got another track on how to be your own lawyer. We have a training coming out on this pretty soon. It's going to be absolutely blockbuster.
Wow.
On things that average, ordinary Joe Blow citizens can do of a legal nature in their own community to change policies just like, you know, like gangbusters. That's just really, really cool stuff. What I've discovered through this is that we've been conditioned to always look to somebody higher up, like the government, mostly, to take care of our problems.
Yeah.
And this runs deep in society because they've had, like, what, a 100-year run at this. And, well, the government's the only answer to it. And so if government is, well, that means that government lobbyists are the only answer, too. And so everybody just kind of says, well, there's nothing I can do. I really hear this all the time. There's nothing I can do. What can I do? We need to kind of turn that whole narrative around and say there are a ton of things that you can do right where you are to make a tangible difference in your community and push this stuff back. And enough people in America were doing that, we would see a revolution of a quiet type, I might add.
That's the whole basis of our show. Fascinating.
Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of my spiel on it. I tell people to, you know, say, well, why do I need training? You know, I just want to go out and do it. And I say, look, because we're facing a sophisticated enemy here. This isn't like the Three Stooges. We're not fighting the Three Stooges here. We're fighting a very sophisticated and rich group of people that are trying to conquer the world. And people come, when citizens come up and say, well, I don't feel like I should take the time to do any training, I just tell them, look, I'm just blunt anymore. I've given up being nice, I guess, or graceful sometimes. But I just say, look, the only use, the only purpose of an untrained army is to help the enemy. That's the only good you'll be. You will help the enemy defeat us if you're not trained. And
so should be able to make statements. Yeah, like, you know, we need to kill all these people and do all this other stuff. It's like, no, shut up. Stop saying that. You're not helping us.
Well, I know. I mean, imagine an army. I mean, even in our military, you go through basic training, then you go through AIT, then you go to some specialty after that. And you get training, you might have as much as 3 or 4 or 5 years of training before you actually are ready to do something. Just imagine how effective our military would be if they said, no, you know what, let's save some money and skip basic training.
Sounds like World War
One program.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be good. You know, it's going to end really bad. But our side are unequipped. They're untrained and they're unequipped. And that's, I think we're both on the same track on that. But,
yeah.
Well, you know, we need to provide tools and training.
Yeah, this is what I'm glad to hear, because, you know, we've got doctors who know doctoring. We've got lawyers who know lawyering. And we need to get together, because the doctors need to know how the lawyers work the laws. The lawyers need to know the knowledge the doctors have, and not at the same level, but it's the same kind of thing. This is why I have different levels at Action Radio. You can just share the shows. You can share the bills. You can get more involved. You can actually start writing the bills. But that takes a workshop with me. So I do the same thing you do, which is training. I say, we only got a few minutes left. I got one caller who's new on the line. I don't recognize the number. But let me go to anybody else. Judy, Jim, John, do you want to talk to – do you have a question or comment for Patrick? And then if I have a couple minutes, I might take this last call.
But just exactly what what I agree with Patrick completely. And all we're trying to do is re-educate people on what true nutrition and health really is. And you don't eat them, but we've got to educate them and re-educate them because they think your immune system comes in a needle.
Yep.
And I agree with what Patrick's saying about the training and the Army. And my concern is I don't think everybody's marching into war and isn't aware that you have to fight a battle on two fronts. In other words, if we went to World War II and forgot about Japan, that might have been a mess. This is a battle that's being fought on two fronts. There were two pandemics, one of which is only being talked about by me and Dr. Judy. We're sort of the only two people on Earth talking about the influenza outbreak that really started to take lives in January, February, March of 2020. So going to war when you don't have all the facts also, it just helps the enemy. So I agree with Patrick 100%.
Okay, let me try. Let me see. I've got a call here. It's not part of our guest list, so it might be just a brand new caller. I'll give you a chance. Be nice, and we'll have you back. If not, then this is your one chance. 386 area code. Welcome to Action Radio. Who have we got here? And they dropped. Okay, fine. Well, that was easy. Now they go on the not answer list. Jim Thorpe, are you there? Or have you been busy the whole time? You've been really quiet. He's still quiet. He's probably working with patients.
Jim delivered 15 babies in the last hour.
Well, this is what happens. This is why we have, if we're right in the middle of the day, I'm surprised people have anything to do. There's something that I want to talk to Patrick about real quickly, and I want to do this with all you folks, because Jim talks about this too, how the doctors were suppressed, how your licenses were threatened, how basically your free speech was completely abridged, denied, revoked, censored. And I see this all the time. This is really... COVID is a free speech clampdown, lockdown as much as anything else. Freedom would have cured COVID. If the early treatments were out there, when I was broadcasting and all you folks were talking about this, COVID would have been over with in July of 2020. We all would have had our early treatments. We would have been on preventive hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, vitamin D3, vitamin C, zinc, and we'd have been done. So freedom would have cured this in a few months. But because we didn't have freedom, it's still here. So there's something in federal law, Patrick, I'm pretty sure you're aware, but just in case, 18 U.S.C. 241, conspiracy against rights. And it says, if two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or the district, that would be of Columbia, and here's the fun part, in the free exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege secured to him by the Constitution or laws of the United States, or because of his having been so exercised, or because of his having so exercised the same, and then it skips a little part here. It says, they shall be fined under this title, imprisoned not more than 10 years, or both. So right in federal law, 18 U.S.C. 241, is a section of law that says if your free speech is, and I would consider the government a conspiracy, the Congress, two or more members of Congress who voted for a bill, or Dr. Fascist and some of the other folks, NIH, FDA, CDC. Those are real conspiracies that have oppressed the exercise, certainly, and the enjoyment as well, of our free speech rights. Have you ever thought to use this law? Do you know about it? It's there. Is this something you've been familiar with, first of all? 18 U.S.C. 241.
I am. I'm not. I haven't reviewed it like just recently, but I am. I've heard of it, and I think it's a very valuable in any approach to or case when if you're building a legal case or or a scenario you need something to cite. This is a perfect thing. There's so many things like this embedded in law now that have been violated. Oh my gosh! I mean, it would take a book to go through the whole thing. I remember at the beginning of COVID, we were talking. Everybody's talking about, well, gee, that whatever the government was doing, that violates HIPAA. Well, that violates OSHA. Well, that violates all these regulations and stuff. It's all over the place, and it did, but nobody paid attention.
Well, is there an enforcement to it? See, the First Amendment, you know, doesn't come with an enforcement mechanism, either it's the Second or the Fourth or any of them. So these rights can be violated, and unless someone like a decent court enforces it, or a legislature either at the state or the congressional level enforces it, or the Justice Department does their job and actually goes after justice rather than Trump and probably doctors now. I wouldn't be surprised if we all get invaded at some point. But where's the enforcement? The Constitution really doesn't have an enforcement mechanism. So it's up to these federal laws and state laws and courts to enforce it, and law enforcement to enforce them. And they're not doing it because they're just following orders.
Yes. I'd say ultimately we citizens are the enforcement of the First Amendment.
Okay.
Because if we don't exercise it, we don't have it. When the founders called them unalienable rights, they pre-existed the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And so the man didn't give them, man can't take them away. We already have them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like Judy said, we already have our immune system. We don't need something else. We have this. It's innate. It's in everybody's body. These rights must be exercised by us, the citizens of this country, and other countries too, but our country, we live here. When people take responsibility for their own lives and their own, you know, people around, their own families, and spread it out to their own communities, amazing things can happen. But we have these rights. We don't exercise them. And then we wonder what went wrong. Well, that's what went wrong. You were sitting on the couch watching TV too long when you should have been out mixing it up with your neighbors or with town council or somebody, you know, school board or something. You should have been out there looking at what's going on. But this is the mindset that needs to change, and this is the only salvation to America is that people take personal responsibility again. And that could be something simple by changing what you eat. That could be something bigger, maybe by going out and being involved, introducing legislation in your city council or to the county or to your state government. It could be working with other groups in town to help support them and doing those things. I mean, everybody could have a role to play. Everybody.
Well, let's actually make it as simple as possible. You know, like I say, share the bill link. You know, the link to our vaccine product liability bill, send it to your member of Congress, send it to your senators, send it to the biggest media outlets you can think of. And if enough people do that and we reach a critical mass, it's going to get in the national debate. Pollsters are going to have to poll on it, you know, because they're going to be asking questions. And that's how we get this out there. That's the only way I see to do it. But if you don't make it simple for people, they're going to, you know, eat hot dogs and watch football. Nothing, there's anything wrong with those things. But it's not going to help us. You're not fighting for your freedom. So one of the things, too, before you go, juries. Do you work? I used to belong to and I've worked with FIJA, Fully Informed Jury Association. Dr. Roger Roots, who defended the Bundys in their property dispute. He's been on the show. In fact, we talked about how the federal land really is state land. If they ever wanted to take it back, it's theirs. We have a bill that instructs judges, a mandatory instruction for judges to tell juries that they have the right of jury nullification. They have the right to judge the laws as well as the facts, despite what the judge says. You know, and so that might help you out a long way, too. But juries, free speech includes juries doing what they think best, regardless of what the judge instructs, regardless of the laws that are probably unjust and unconstitutional. So you can't convict somebody of an unjust law. That goes against our freedom. That goes against everything that we stand for, our natural rights. Do you work with juries at all or jury information, Patrick?
We did with the Crimes Against Humanity Task Force. We were attempting to provide enough information where a grand jury could be, would have immediate resources to use if one was called. And, that's still our goal. We haven't had any joint speaking engagements for, about 2 months now.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to have a couple before the end of the year. But this, again, is something that needs public exposure because no grand jury can get seated until there's some amount of public support for it. Very important, very important process. But then again, yes, within the jury system itself, there have been incredible violations from the bench on instructing juries wrongly. And, of course, they don't know any difference.
No, people don't know the rights they've never heard. So that's part of the process. But
right.
If you can incorporate a jury instruction in there, because when people get called for juries, they want to get out of jury duty. Well, I would make juries get their regular salary so I don't lose money. John, did you have something? I think I heard you in the background there.
No, I was listening and loving it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Hey guys, I need to drop off now. I got another interview coming up here at the top of the hour, but I know we're almost done anyway. So
okay, well, yeah, hey, well, unless we want to run long. Yeah. Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate it.
You bet. We will talk again.
All right, sounds good. All right,
thanks for everything you're doing, and so long, Judy. We'll talk to you later too.
Thanks, Patrick. Love you.
Thanks, Patrick.
We just like one big happy family here. Well, I found out something from Blog Talk. I don't want to keep you guys, you know, unless you want to stick around for a little bit. But we can actually go, you know, beyond our hour or beyond our 3 hours a little bit. We did John and Patrick and I think we talked about an extra 35 minutes last week. We just kept going.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
kind of fun.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
I actually I have another interview today, so I can't go long. So I have to wrap it up.
Okay.
But there was something Dr. Judy was sharing with the audience earlier that I wanted to leave with everybody just in case you're not familiar with it. There's something called the T4 phage, P-H-A-G-E, T4 phage. And this is, they're called bacteriophages. It's like I guess it's a virus. And when you do an image search for this thing and you look at what they look like and that these are constructed from, you know, proteins and fats and, you know, the molecules. And yet there's a video of a T4 phage attacking an E. coli bacteria. It's a simulation. And it's fascinating. And you look at these things and what they're doing in order to insert their RNA and continue their line. It's just amazing. I mean, looking at this thing, it almost looks like it's from another world. It's like if this isn't an alien, well, what do they look like? Because these sure are creepy looking little things. They really are. Take a look. T4 phage. Am I right, Dr. Judy? They're pretty creepy looking.
Yes, exactly. I just sent all four of you these papers that answered Jim's question. Yeah, it's a phage. It just it inserts itself like fangs of a snake, and it's just a little piece, and it just goes right through the cell wall, the bacterial cell wall, and they put these sequences to make these kinds of insertion elements so you can put the bigger poisons, inject the bigger poisons like parasites and Borrelia directly into the cell so they escape where they normally wouldn't go in. You're exactly right. And this is what they're doing is trying to pretend like it's there all along. So absolutely right. And this is why Patrick's work and everything we've been talking about is the most important, because we can't lean on our own understanding. We just have to show everybody, look, they lied to you for 40 years. They killed people. And all you have to do is not do it. All you have to do is eat clean to your neighbor and never wear a mask. All you have to do is go out in sunshine and you won't see the disease. And then you're boosted in your confidence and say, oh, yeah, I don't care about them. Bye-bye. It's easy.
Yeah, I just have one more quick question. The mask, you were saying that actually destroys your immune system. How does that work?
We need oxygen.
Right.
We need oxygen. There's a factor, an on-off switch called hypoxia-inducible factor 1 alpha. It's a blowtorch on cancer and inflammatory disease. Two breaths in any mask and you're crippled. They don't stop a virus. They simply cripple the innate immune response to viruses preferentially, and then bacteria get on the mask. They're all contaminated. It's not how you wear personal protective equipment. I isolated viruses for a living and never once wore a mask because you don't make yourself susceptible, because you'll walk out of that lab and spit it around, because only a sick person spreads a virus.
This is fascinating. It goes to my theory that, well, not theory, because it's reality now. Literally everything they did was to make people sicker, preserve COVID until they could come out with their jabs. This entire thing is one big marketing death conspiracy. It's a fascinating, but even the masks themselves, you know, are part of destroying your immune system. I mean, everything's about destroying your immune system so that their bioweapon has greater access to your body, your nucleus, and your on and off switches.
Correct. See how simple that is? Keep it out of there and you're fine. They can't poison you. You know, they made such a big deal about the snake venom. You know, they can't poison you unless they get the fang, whether it be a bacteriophage or a needle. And even then so, if you can get the glyphosate and the poison out of your gut so they didn't poke holes in the tight junction of your brain and the tight junction of your gut, that cell, we've been given multiple layers to protect things from getting into certain parts of the body they're not supposed to. So all you have to do is feed the good and don't allow the fangs, and you win.
Love it. Let's pick it up next week with Nutritional Frontiers. If you want to talk more about the conference, if you want to give us some information in the meantime to take a look at. But I think our discussing of the problem has pretty much ended. I want to go with solutions, whether it's legislation, whether it's personal, you know, stuff you do, whether it's nutrition, whether it's meditation, philosophy, spirituality. I don't care what it is. I want to go from the positive from here on out. And let's see if we can get some good things out there. It's only Judy and John left, so thank you both very much. And let's do it again next week. Anybody... information, Judy, you want to give your website again? John, if you want to give your information too, then we shall do it again. And thank you both very much. And everybody else that called in earlier. Judy, what's your website one more time, please?
The realdrjudy.com, and I'll email you introductions to Jamie and Dr. Tracy of Nutritional Frontiers and Get Healthy Store.
Yeah. Well, if they want to come on next week, they're welcome to. We can do a whole nutrition show, and they're welcome to stay as long as they want and come back as many times as they want to.
And they'll have solutions for Jim as well and how to feed pregnant women because, you know, I only show them the pathways that all these people show you the solutions. And I agree, our company is called Dr. J's Solution. We don't worry about anything else except solution for the individual. And all men are created equal, but the environments are different. So we have to make sure we appreciate the toxins of the culture and the race.
Interesting. Yeah, Brian was texting me throughout the show. I want to be part of this. I want to talk nutrition. So he's going to be all in next week too, I think, unless he has another conference or something. John, how do folks reach you?
Yeah, sure. So you guys can find me on Twitter at @I_M_JohnCullen. You can see my videos on YouTube, but the name of the channel is different. It's named after J. Edgar Hoover. So the name of the channel is John E. Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover's real name. John Edgar Hoover. John E. Hoover on YouTube. And if you want to support my work, you can go to Patreon and you look up I Am John Cullen. You don't need any spaces or underscores there. And you'll find I Am John Cullen on Patreon. And I do a show every Friday with Jason Goodman, where we review current events and the latest ongoing developments in the COVID outbreak.
I have to ask, have you talked legislation, our Section 230 bill and our vaccine product liability bill? I mean, it's shameless to put you on the spot like this, I know, but I'm just curious.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. In fact, I shared it on Twitter and people pounced on it on Twitter. So I think people aren't used to something like your Write Your Bills technology that makes it so easy. Yeah. So everybody thinks it's a ton of work, and they don't understand the investment that you've made to get this thing to the point where, no, it's really easy to
done.
Do.
Share the link.
And there's, right, and there's bills already done, right, that you can just get behind and share. So I shared it on Twitter, and the response was really positive. So I'm a big fan of this. I think it's forcing the hand of our Congress people. Usually they're the ones that write the bills. So when you just hand them something and the work is done, there's no excuse. And I love that about it. I love the simplicity of it. It's very elegant.
Thank you. That's the whole idea behind it. I wanted to make it as simple as possible for people to be advocates. But if they want to go further, I will work with them to write the bills and we can go from there. You two are my two biggest boosters. Judy and John are just invaluable for this whole process. So the more we can help get this out there, I think it's going to be, you know, politically, it's a political earthquake. If this gets out and it gets a major impact in the national debate and Congress is faced with a bill that they could never write because their donors won't let them. But if enough people present this bill to Congress and say, we want vaccine product liability and we want it now and we want it before the midterms, everything, well, they probably get it before the midterms, but everything changes once that gets into the public. So let's keep going. Let's see what happens. All right, everybody. I'll talk to you next week. Greg Penglis here for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction. Or let us at a website where you want to go for all the things we're talking about, writeyourlaws.com. That's WriteYourLaws.com. If you want to support the show, or become an advertiser. You can get us at paypal.com/paypalme/actionradio. Email me if you want to be a sponsor at greg@writeyourlaws.com. And I think that's it. And, of course, check our broadcast page for all our affiliates. And let's do this again next week at 10 a.m. Tomorrow is the early days, so 6 in the morning, 6 a.m. Central Time for our gun show, constitutional show, financial reports, and things like that. Bye.